goes smoothly when you know the right steps. With Asana, you can coordinate tasks across teams and stay on track so your team can spend more time celebrating wins. Try it for free at asana.com.
We are just a few minutes away from game two of today's doubleheader between the Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Jersey Shore Blue Claws. Game one went to the Claws, a 2-0 win in seven innings. Two seven-inning games today here in Aberdeen because of the rainout last night. With the win earlier today, the Blue Claws improved to 32-48 overall, 7-10 in the second half. On the flip side, the Ironbirds 30-52 now and 6-11 in the second half. Hi, everyone. My name is Michael Mark Cantonini, the voice of the Ironbirds, live from Ripken Stadium here in Aberdeen, Maryland. Well, I told you at the end of game one that I've got Bob Phelan from the Orioles on the Verge podcast joining me for game two of the doubleheader here tonight in the Dean. So I'm pleased to welcome back Bob to the broadcast booth. Bob, you were here for a game last year. It was great talking ball then. It's been great following you and the rest of the Orioles on the Verge crew. Thanks for being here. How's everything going?
Good, of course. Yeah, thanks for having me back. It was a ton of fun last year. Happy to do it again. And, on the Verge, it's been a weird year in Birdland with the Major League team struggling, disappointing. Been playing better of late, but, you know, the farm system's a little bit thinner this year. But I think with the draft coming up and some breakout players in the lower minors, that's going to change pretty quickly.
Talking to Bob Phelan, one of the three co-hosts of the Orioles on the Verge podcast. They do such a great job of covering the Orioles minor league system just about as well or better than really any other outlet that's covering Orioles minor leaguers or really minor league baseball. So, Bob, you mentioned the draft that's coming up. It's really an exciting time in Birdland, even though it's been a disappointing season for the Orioles. You've got the draft coming up, the futures game, a couple of Orioles prospects going there. Ryan O'Hearn starting the All-Star game as the DH for the American League. So it should be a pretty fun week in Atlanta, Orioles related.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, always try to find the silver lining, even though it's been a disappointing season, even with the trade deadline coming up. It's just a unique opportunity for a team in the middle of a contention window to kind of bulk up the farm system or hopefully try to get somebody under control beyond just the 2025 season. But, yeah, it's a lot of exciting stuff. Post-July, I don't know. Maybe you're just waiting for Samuel Basayo to get called up. But right now it's pretty fun.
Yeah, Basayo, of course, an Ironbirds legend, only spent about 5 weeks here during the 2023 season. But he absolutely has earned all the call-ups to the different levels. And the next one we're waiting on is the big leagues for Samuel Basayo. But, Bob, while I have you here on the pregame show, let's talk about what's been going on with the On the Verge crew. I know you guys are consistently covering what's going on the Orioles minor league system. You're doing regular shows. You're also doing interviews with prospects and front office executives and all that here and there. What have you guys been up to lately?
Well, we've been focusing on the draft. We did a mock draft a week or so ago on the main feed. And, yeah, we're typically just doing two episodes a week. Here's a tip. If you subscribe to our YouTube channel, you can watch both episodes as we record them live. But in the podcast feed, we split it up. But, yeah, we usually do one episode focused on the majors, one on the minors, but really just trying to tune into the draft here and get people ready for what the Orioles might do.
Yeah, and it's going to be exciting. And I know we were talking before we went on air just a few minutes ago. The Orioles making a move today that's going to affect the big league club, but it's also going to affect next week's draft. They trade right-handed reliever Brian Baker to the Tampa Bay Rays. They get number 37 overall in the draft back, a compensation pick, and they're going to have that pick in this year's draft. So now four picks in the top 37, which is almost unheard of. You don't normally see a team with that many compensation picks in the same draft to go along with their regular first-round pick. So there's a lot that the O's can do.
Absolutely. This is a very important draft for them. And, yeah, like you said, to have those four picks in the top 37, but not even that, just the money, the pool that they have is like $19.1 million, which is by far the most of any team, which is kind of crazy when our first pick is the 19th pick in the draft. But, yeah, we'll be going live on YouTube Sunday night to follow along, at least those first four picks, and then we'll see what happens after that. Obviously, we'll cover it, but maybe not live. But, yeah. Yeah, it's an exciting time. We're looking forward to breaking it all down.
Yeah, that's a lot. Four picks in the top 37. You guys might need a little breather after that. So
it's possible.
I wouldn't blame you if you took a break on the live stream after that. But that's going to be fun. So if you follow the guys from The Verge on social media, you know where to go to find information about that live stream and what they're doing. But for the people that don't follow you guys on social media, Bob, how's the best way or what's the best way to find you?
Yeah, just search Orioles on The Verge pretty much anywhere. We're on YouTube, we're on Twitter, we're on Blue Sky, we're on wherever you find podcasts. We have a Substack where we write articles, and Nick recently just put out a video post on Substack, which was really cool too. So, yeah, we started off as focusing solely on the minor leagues, but then once 2023 came around and the Orioles were competitive, we've been covering both ever since, and don't see that changing, and just loving every minute of it.
Let's shift the conversation a little bit to the Ironbirds, talking to Bob Phelan from the Orioles on the Verge podcast. Well, Bob, you came for a night in which the Ironbirds are playing as the Sinceros Increíbles de Aberdeen, the Incredible Cowbells of Aberdeen, as part of the Copa de Diversión partnership in minor league baseball. This is the second of three Copa nights. So it's the Ironbirds playing as the Sinceros Increíbles de Aberdeen. Bob, I know that you, Nick, and Zach follow the Ironbirds because you follow all the Orioles affiliates. And while it has not been the most ideal situation in Aberdeen this season with, of course, more losses than wins, last place in the first half, still a lot of positives. What have you liked from what you've seen from a distance from the Ironbirds?
Honestly, just most of the pitching staff. I think just like last year, the pitching is pretty incredible here. I know Sebastian Gongora just went on the IL, but he's really flashed really well in since his promotion from Delmarva. Michael Frett, I'm kind of surprised he's still here, but hey, he's dealing when he's in there. And yeah, I think the pitching staff's pretty incredible, and it just goes to the players and in the pitching development in the system, how they've continued to do this with not even early round picks. These guys are mostly, you know, rounds 8 and after or something like that. But also Aaron Estrada, I think he's banging on the door of a promotion to AA. Really impressed with what he's been able to do, especially with the bat. I know he hits the ball hard. He's just got to start lifting the ball. And what, he's got 3 home runs in his past what have you games. So, yeah, starting to do it.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Aaron Estrada because I played an interview with Aaron before game one of today's doubleheader. And one of the things that's really helped Aaron is the fact that he's bulked up and added a ton of weight since he was originally signed. He's gone from 140 to a little bit over 200 pounds now. And great to see him bulking up, hitting the ball hard, like you said. And one guy who may be on his way to a AA promotion relatively soon. Well, Bob's going to be with me on the broadcast all night tonight for game 2 of this doubleheader. Before we go any further with the lineups and the starting pitching matchup, we are going to take a pause for the national anthem here in Aberdeen. We'll let you listen to that on the crowd mic, and then when we come back, we'll get you the lineups and the starting pitching matchup here in Aberdeen. Just a few minutes away from first pitch here at Aberdeen for game 2 of today's doubleheader between the Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Jersey Shore Blue Claws. Let's take a look at the starting lineup for the Ironbirds. Leading off in center field, Austin Overin batting second, the second baseman, Griff O'Farrell. Aaron Estrada's in left field, he bats third. Tomas Sosa, the designated hitter, is in the four hole. Anderson De Los Santos is at third base batting fifth. Leandro Arias, the shortstop, bats sixth. Jake Cunningham is in the 7-hole playing right field. Anunis Mordaunt, the catcher, bats 8th, and rounding out the lineup batting 9th, it is the first baseman, Ryan Stafford. Left-hander Luis De Leon gets the ball for the Birds today, playing as the Sinceros Increíbles de Aberdeen, and De Leon is out on the mound throwing his warm-up tosses. Here's the lineup he'll face for Jersey Shore, leading off at second base, Aaron Escobar, batting 2nd, the third baseman, Nick Bittison. Avery Owusu-Asedu is in center field, batting 3rd, Bryson Ware, the shortstop, bats 4th. Elio Prado, the former Ironbird, is in the 5-hole in left field. Jordan Disson is catching in the 6th spot. Pierce Bennett, the DH, bats 7th. Joel Dragu is in right field, batting 8th. And rounding out the lineup, batting 9th, it's the first baseman, Luis Caicuto. On the mound for Jersey Shore, it's right-hander Casey Stewart. So that is the pitching matchup tonight. Stewart for the Claws and DeLeon for the Birds. Got Bob Phelan from the Orioles on the Verge podcast joining me for a beautiful night here in Aberdeen. Sun is out, light blue skies. Bob, it's a great night for a game. And Luis DeLeon gets the ball, a guy you've seen a little bit of throughout his time in the Orioles organization, and I know you like him a lot.
Yeah, I do. Lefty with just heavy, heavy sinker, gets a lot of ground balls, got good strikeout stuff typically as well. I know he showed out pretty well in spring training and then unfortunately had that little injury that he's battling back from. I don't know if he's completely, you know, back to full strength yet, but hoping that he just continues to get better and better as the year goes on.
Young Phillies prospect Aaron Escobar in the leadoff spot for the Blue Claws here in game two of the doubleheader. First pitch of the night from DeLeon is a little bit low, and the count is 1-0. So we are underway for game two after the Blue Claws took game one by a score of 2-0. The Birds have split each of the previous four doubleheaders they've played this season, looking to make it five straight doubleheader splits. Escobar chops one to second. O'Farrell's right there. He throws over to first, and Stafford's there at the bag. 4-3 on the putout. Always good to get a quick ground ball out.
Yeah, when DeLeon's going well, that's what's going to happen. Might be in the zone, but hopefully that's weak contact on the ground.
DeLeon, 6 feet, 3 inches tall, 22 years old in his fourth pro season. He gets Nick Bittison, the third baseman here for the Blue Claws. Bittison went 1-for-3 with a single in game one today. He is back at the hot corner. First pitch to him misses low and in. And for DeLeon, Bob, I think a lot of people forget that this guy's only 22 years old. I feel like we've been hearing about him for years, but he's already in his fourth pro season, just 22. He's got a lot of baseball ahead of him.
Yeah, he kind of broke his way onto the scene in his age 19-20 season when he was in the FCL onto Delmarva. And, yeah, it's easy to forget. Orioles are new to the international game, but when these guys break out, they're typically super young. So, you know, you're going to have some step backs, some struggles, but it's all about development. It's not always linear.
2-0, swing and a miss. It's 2-1. There are a lot of Latin-signed prospects in the Ironbirds lineup tonight, talking about dipping into the international free agent pool in recent years. It's something the Orioles have done a great job of under Executive Vice President and General Manager Mike Elias. 2-1, ripped down the left field line. That's a fair ball, base hit. Estrada gets to it in the corner. Here's his throw into second. It's a little bit late getting it in, and it's a one-out double for Nick Bittison.
Yeah, it seems like the big name up in the FCL, at least according to Baseball America, Esteban Mejia. He's currently, I think they have him as the number three prospect in the system, a top 100 prospect. And I think Josh Norris for Baseball America just tweeted out not that long ago that he sees him as a future ace, not just a number one,
wow,
but an ace.
And we're talking about a teenager that's pumping 102 with the fastball.
18 years old. Yeah, unbelievable.
So whenever those prospect top 30 lists and all that get reshuffled, I'm sure we're going to start hearing a lot about him down in the FCL. But that's crazy to just put that sentence together, an 18-year-old throwing 102.
Yeah, really. It's kind of, we've been high on him since last year when we kind of got reports on him, but it just seems like he's taking it to another level this year.
Here's Avery Owusu-Asedu. He lines one to left center field, hanging up there, over and lost it in the sun. He plays it on a couple hops. It's an RBI single as Bittison comes in to score. So back-to-back hits for the Blue Claws have Jersey Shore on top early once again. That's a tough break right there. It looked like he just straight up could not see that. And maybe he doesn't make the catch anyway, but maybe he holds the runner at third. But that's a tough sun right now.
Yeah, it really is. That's, I think, underrated aspect when you're just watching on TV. Yeah, you can tell that the ball must have just been hit at the right angle where he lost it almost immediately.
1-0 Jersey Shore, one out and a runner at first base. Here's Bryson Ware, the shortstop. Didn't play in game one. Shadow coverage across the infield. So based off our center field camera angle, you're looking at kind of a shadow covered field. Now you see the outfield. It is extremely sunny, especially the center fielders in this ballpark always have a tough time shielding their eyes from the sun. So that kind of sinking low liner in front of over, not an easy play anyway. And again, it's probably a ball that falls for a hit, regardless of if he sees it or not. But maybe he would have had a better opportunity charging if he knew where that was. Either way, back-to-back hits, Bittison and AOA. And now Ware trying to keep it going. Claws up a run.
There's a steal attempt.
Runner goes, and Avery Owusu-Asedu is in ahead of the throw from the catcher, Anudis Mordaunt. So a runner at second now with only one out. And Luis De Leon is going to try to work his way through this inning, allowing just that one run. But sticking with the conversation about the international signing game, and you just never know. You can have a spoken agreement as AOA takes third now without a throw, belly flop into the bag. You can have a spoken agreement with a guy, and then later that year, years later, he signs elsewhere. I mean, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, but the Orioles have brought in a lot of talent over the last few years, and it was as recently as maybe a year and a half ago, among the Orioles' international prospects, Basayo was the clear number one, but De Leon was ranked as the number two guy behind him.
Yeah, and he signed for not much. I wish I would have wrote down the specifics, but I believe it was like under $100,000. Pitchers especially, I feel like they're kind of late bloomers, especially when they're scouting these guys at 13, 14 years old. It's almost impossible to know. So you'll notice the Orioles will sign some pitchers a little bit later on for a lower amount of money and still get them to develop.
3-2 grounded foul up the third baseline. The infield is in for the Birds all the way around. Bryson Ware will see at least another full count offering. $30,000, that's all it took to sign Luis De Leon. The 2020-2021 international signing period.
Yeah, so, you know, sometimes your big signings don't work out, but then you cash in on the little ones.
Infield stays in, 3-2, swing and a miss. There's a big punch out right there. Out number two in the first. Now the Ironbirds can move the infield defense back. Let's set that defense for the Ironbirds. Anudis Mordaunt is catching with Anderson De Los Santos at third. Leandro Arias is the shortstop. Griff O'Farrell on the other side at second base. Ryan Stafford at first. In the outfield, Aaron Estrada in left. Austin Overton in center. And Jake Cunningham in right. De Leon has a five-pitch mix to work with, four-seam and a two-seam fastball, plus a slider, a changeup, and a splitter that has a little sink action on it. Sits around 93 to 97 with the fastball, so he may not be Mejia down in the FCL pumping 102, but 93 to 97 will work.
Yeah, and that was 97 on that punch out there, yeah. And like I said, it's a heavy, heavy fastball, so it's not like, I don't know, that basically just means it has good shape to it, but...
Yeah, that's such a big buzzword in baseball, pitch shape. I mean, it's so important nowadays with just the way the ball comes out of the hand and the kind of action it has on it.
Exactly. You know, yeah, the movement.
A ball and a strike on Elio Prado, who pops one up foul out of play. It's 1-2. And when guys talk about pitch shapes, really you can have, let's take changeup for example. You can have four guys that throw a changeup, and the pitch shape is different on all. It just comes out different, a little different action on it.
Absolutely. You got your straight change, circle change, splitter. Kick change is a new one this year. So,
1-2 to Prado. Just missed off the plate. Looked pretty good, but De Leon and Mordaunt did not get the call. It's good to see Elio Prado back in town. He had a really nice night in the series opener on Tuesday. Batted five times, reached base safely in all five plate appearances. A hit by pitch, three walks, and an RBI single. Birds down 1-0. 2-2 on the inside corner. Nice De Leon pitch. Gets that call, and he picks up his second strikeout to end the first. So he allows a run. He does it on two hits, but that is it. And he did a nice job working out of that runner at third, one-out jam. We'll go to the home half of the first and see if the Ironbirds can jump on the scoreboard. They trail 1-0 here on the Birds Broadcast Network. We move to the home half of the first inning here in Aberdeen, Maryland. Michael Marcantonini and Bob Phelan from the Orioles on the Verge podcast joining me on the broadcast for game two of the doubleheader tonight. The Ironbirds playing as the Sinceros Increíbles de Aberdeen, the incredible cowbells of Aberdeen, wearing some Copa-themed jerseys for the Copa de Diversión agreement between minor league and major league baseball. The Birds getting in on that action this year. Down 1-0 as we go to the home half of the first. The Birds will send up Austin Over and Griff O'Farrell and Aaron Estrada. First pitch to Over and misses low and in, and the count is 1-0. Casey Stewart, the right-hander for Jersey Shore, gets the ball tonight. 6 feet 5 inches tall. He's 23 years old in his third pro season. 16th start of the year for Stewart. And Over and hits one on the ground out to second. Aaron Escobar throws to first, and it's one quick out. So that brings up Griff O'Farrell. And, Bob, this is a guy that I like a lot. I think O'Farrell's just a great player. We're talking about like a high-floor player. Exactly. Makes a lot of contact, yep. Great defense. And there's a reason he went number 32 overall last year.
Yes, very slick fielder. Can play up the middle. Bat to ball is really good. He does not whiff much. I think he's just getting the ball in the air a little too much. If he starts hitting more line drives, ground balls, I think you'll see that batting average come up.
O'Farrell was at shortstop in game one. He's across the diamond at second base here in game two. Count is quickly 0-1. Birds down 1-0. Shows bunt but pulls back and takes a strike. O'Farrell, one of the guys that the Orioles selected with a compensation pick last year. And it's not out of the question. Here's the 0-2. He slaps it foul. It's not out of the question, Bob, that any of the guys the Orioles pick from 19 through 37 with their four picks could finish the year here in Aberdeen this year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I feel like you see at least a couple guys do it every year the past two or three years at least, starting with, I think, Couser's year. Yeah, I would not be shocked at all, especially if they can sign them fast enough, get them a little taste in Delmarva, and then finish the year here. Yeah.
O'Farrell was one of five position players from last year's draft that finished the season in Aberdeen in 2024. Now he rips one up the middle for a base hit. A good start to the night for Griff O'Farrell. And he puts a man on base for Aaron Estrada. And tying run now on base. But last year it was the top five position players picked in the draft. Honeycutt, O'Farrell, Anderson, Overn, and Stafford all got up to Aberdeen for the final week, as well as a couple of pitchers from that draft. So this year, as long as they go college bat or arm with those four picks in the top 37, figure we're seeing at least one or two of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, just for development purposes, it's good for them to get a taste of the oof.
That one up and in on Estrada. He's plunked, and that puts runners at first and second with one out.
You want to get them a taste of high A, where they're likely going to start 2026, and just give them a taste of what they need to work on heading into the offseason.
And that has benefited a lot of guys in this Orioles organization in recent years, and I've talked to guys about that. Like, okay, it may be 1 week at high A to end the season in a year where you went from playing college baseball to then getting drafted to going to the complex in Florida, then Delmarva, then Aberdeen. It's a lot for these guys, but it makes a huge difference going into that first pro offseason.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot to take in, so give them as much as you can to, you know, as much information that they can process and do the drills in the offseason. And we've seen big jumps a lot of times between seasons.
Here's Tomas Sosa, the power-hitting outfielder, who's getting a shot to just DH tonight. Left-handed swinger with two on and one out.
I love this kid. I think he's a huge breakout candidate in the second half of the season.
He's only 20 years old, and he's been robbed of most of his 2025 season so far. He's only played in 10 games, four games in April before the injury, and six games since. He's reached base safely in all 10. An RBI opportunity for him right now. 1-1 from Stewart, foul tip. But, I mean, you could just tell.
He's got a big swing, yeah.
You can tell with that cut. If he makes contact, it's going to go for a ride.
Yeah, he hits the ball extremely hard, especially for his age. Or even if just take the age out of it, he just hits the ball hard. I think what he's got to start doing is the swing decisions and then lifting the ball a little bit.
1-2 from Stewart. Oh, on the outside corner, a little bit of a late strike three call from the home plate umpire Nick Mull, and Sosa is retired. For out number two, let's set the defense now for Jersey Shore. Jordan Disson is catching with Nick Bittison at third, Bryson Ware at short, Aaron Escobar at second, and Luis Caicudo at first. Then in the outfield, Elio Prado in left, Avery Owusu-Asedu in center, and in right field, It is Joel Dragoo. So that's the starting nine defensively for the Claws. Two outs, two on. Here is Anderson De Los Santos. Bob, here's a kid that I talk a lot on the broadcast. It's a combination of great strike zone awareness. He hits the ball hard, and he takes his walks. And that usually plays at the higher levels.
Yeah, and another guy, it's pretty easy to forget how young he is. He's only 21 years old and just has been steady improver. He hasn't, like, broken out, but he's just gotten a little bit better as the seasons and as the years go on. Yeah, he's got a great line drive swing, hits the ball hard. Yeah, I like this kid.
He takes some healthy cuts, too. I mean, we're talking about some serious power in that bat. Time is out. He also plays with a ton of emotion, and that's what I really like about him, because you don't see it all that often, but he plays like every game and every at-bat means the most in the world to him. I mean, every at-bat, whether it's frustration or joy, but the fact that he shows emotion, I think that's good for him.
Oh, yeah. You know, you like to see players that care about the results on the field, and hopefully you can translate that into a positive direction.
A couple times this year, he's really fired up the boys with a home run trot where he's, you know, yelling into the dugout, taking his time around the bases, pumping his chest. I mean, I love seeing the emotion.
Oh, yeah. You got to love it. You saw it with,
No, you're fine.
Frederick Pincosme. Yep. When he was here. You love to see the guys having fun out there.
Freddie, that's a guy I miss a lot. You know, I haven't seen him since, obviously, 2023, finished the year here. But, yeah, another guy who just, you could see how much fun he's having playing the game, showing emotion. O'Farrell at second, Estrada at first, 1-2. Here's a hard hit ball to deep right field. Dragoo back. That's over his head. It's off the base of the wall. O'Farrell's in. Here comes Estrada. It's a go-ahead two-run, two-bagger with swagger for Anderson De Los Santos. And the Birds lead it 2-1 here in the first.
Yeah, beautiful. Just took the pitch the other way, sent it for a ride. Right fielder didn't stand a chance.
Yeah, Dragoo was in a little bit, and doesn't matter where he was not going to catch that ball. It hit off the very base of the wall in deep right field, right in front of the Ironbirds bullpen. And with two outs, both runners scoring easily on that. And Anderson De Los Santos brings home two with a two-bagger. So the Birds take a 2-1 lead, and just like that, they get to Casey Stewart, the starter for the Blue Claws. So that changes things in a hurry. De Leon talked about the job he did to only allow the one run on the two hits in the first inning. It was runner at third, one out, and De Leon got two big strikeouts, and now the Birds have the lead because of that.
Yeah, great piece of hitting. And here's the guy I like too, Leandro Arias. He's pretty young as well. The bat has a little bit of ways to go, but a really solid infielder. And he gets the bat on the ball like he just did on that foul ball.
De Los Santos just took off for third on that pitch. He'll have to retreat. Did you see how far he was from the bag when he started that slide? I mean, these guys know on the turf you got to start a little bit earlier, but that was like he was on a slip and slide and just wanted to coast the rest of the way.
De Los Santos is a big kid, but, I mean, he's got, what, 12 steals on the area? I mean,
yeah.
He's aggressive.
1-1, swing and a miss. 1-2 has a breaking ball in there. Stewart has a five-pitch mix, four-seam and a two-seam fastball, plus a slider and a sweeper, and then a changeup for the off-speed stuff. 6.20 ERA entering play, but he's pitched really well against the Ironbirds this year. In three games against the Ironbirds entering tonight, Stewart had allowed just one earned run in 14 innings with 17 strikeouts and had gone five-plus innings in two of those three outings. But the Birds are getting to him a little bit here in the first inning. The go-ahead two-run double from Anderson De Los Santos is the difference right now. But for a guy who's had this much success against the Birds, for them to jump on him early, love to see it.
Yeah, I guess if you get enough looks at a guy, you're eventually going to get to him.
Right. De Los Santos still at second after bringing home the tying and go-ahead runs. Here's the 2-2 to Arias. That's low, and the count's full. Birds lead it 2-1, bottom one. Did not score in game one. They brought the winning run to the plate in the bottom of the seventh in game one. That was as close as it came. Now Arias, the sixth man to bat in the inning. Stewart about to throw his 24th pitch of the night. Payoff pitch. Arias went too far on the swing. Disson blocks it, throws down to first to complete the strikeout, and the inning is over. Two strikeouts for Casey Stewart, but the Birds jump in front. A two-out, two-run double to deep right from Anderson De Los Santos, and the Birds have their first lead of the series. We'll head to the top of the second. Stay locked in here on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Top of the second inning from Ripken Stadium in Aberdeen, Maryland. The Birds with a 2-1 lead over the Claws after Jersey Shore grabbed a run in the top of the first. The Ironbirds answered with Anderson De Los Santos providing the thump, a two-out, two-run double to right field. And the Birds have their first lead of the series. Here's Jordan Disson, the catcher. He did not play in the first game of the doubleheader or the series opener on Tuesday. He takes a ball from Luis De Leon, and the count is 1-0. Well, Bob, anytime you give up a run in the first, it's always great when your offense can go out and get you a couple and give you the lead after the bottom of the first.
Yeah, especially when you shut down the threat in the first inning, too. You had some momentum there, then you get the lead back. Hopefully that'll give De Leon some confidence here in the second inning.
After Disson, it's Pierce Bennett and Joel Dragu, if anyone reaches Luis Caicudo. 2-0, swing and a miss. It's 2-1. That's a great changeup right there.
He was way ahead of that one.
I think the changeup will be a key pitch for De Leon moving forward. It's always been a good pitch for him. But oftentimes you see a changeup as a separator pitch for a lefty.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's always had a pretty solid changeup. And I think that's a pitch that you're just going to continue to get more and more feel for it as your career goes on. But if you can get a similar arm angle, tunnel that with the fastball, it's super effective.
3-1 pitch to Disson. That's ball four, a little bit high. And that brings up Pierce Bennett. So runner at first, no outs. Birds up a run here in the second. I've got a good one for you here, Bob. So if I asked you right now, of all the pitchers in the Orioles minor league system, who is one guy that you think people need to be paying attention to? No, nothing else along with that. Not like an under-the-radar name or a young guy or a guy at this level. Just one guy, one pitcher in the Orioles organization that has not pitched in the big leagues that you think people need to start keeping an eye on.
It was Braxton Bragg for me, but obviously he just hit the IL, so I'll cheat and give a second name. Trey Gibson, I think, is going to be a guy that fans are going to love. Undrafted free agent. Just Orioles found him out of nowhere, and he is lights out with stuff. And he's flashed through here, right? So your listeners, viewers will certainly be familiar with him, but I think his stuff has just gotten better and better. And I think maybe late next year he could make his major league debut. Super high on him.
Yeah, I'm super high on him as well. That's a great answer. I mean, Bragg's a great answer. Of course, he's on the IL, so you went with a healthy pitcher. There's a strike over to Pierce Bennett, the DH, and the count is 1-1. But I think Gibson's really got it all that could get him to the big leagues. He's got a filthy curveball, the death ball slider. He's got that in his bag now. The fastball's pretty electric. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Bennett, fouled away. Count stays where it is.
Yeah, I just love that he's able to work the top of the zone with the breaking pitches, and then fastball is going to be look even faster to the hitters at the top of the zone there too. So I just think he's a smart pitcher.
And he's a big dude. He's got the projectable build.
Oh, yeah. You're not worried about him wearing down too much, I don't think.
Ball and two strikes on Bennett. De Leon working hard. Gets a swing and a miss on the splitter down in the zone. And that is his third punch out. Luis De Leon really settling in after the leadoff walk gets the strikeout.
Yeah, that changeup's really working for him in this inning at least.
Yeah, to continue that conversation on Gibson, he's a guy that I was excited when I saw him pitch last year. I'm like, that looks like a future big leaguer. And then this year had a couple tough outings but really started to figure some things out, absolutely earned his promotion to Double-A Chesapeake. Here's Joel Dragoo. First pitch, a little bit low, count is 1-0. And what stood out to me with Trey, last year he faced off against Chicago White Sox prospect Hagen Smith in Smith's professional debut here in Aberdeen in late August. And we're talking about a top five pick in Hagen Smith, like Arkansas, the guy who racked up 17 punch-outs or whatever it was in that one outing against a big-time opponent, and everybody wanted him. And Gibson out-dueled him in that game. Now, Smith pitched well, but Gibson turned in, at that point, one of the best two outings of his career. And from then on out, I'm like, yeah, let's keep an eye on this guy.
Yeah, the stuff is incredible. And, you know, if you're able to get that much strikeouts, yeah, his ERA has been a little bit inflated here and there, but just it was only a matter of time before the results kind of matched the stuff.
No doubt. The K's up, the walk's down, just power stuff from Gibson. So that's Bob's answer. One guy in the one pitcher in the Orioles minor league system who hasn't pitched in the big leagues that you got to keep an eye on. He says Gibson, of course, Bragg too when he's back healthy. 2-1 fouled back by Dragoo. It's 2-2. Birds down or Birds up 2-1 here in the away half of the second.
I think it's just underrated in general, the pitching development in the system. I think the pitching is the strength of this farm system right now. In our newest top 50 we updated, we had five or six pitchers in our top 10.
Wow. And probably not a lot of guys that were drafted that high, because the Orioles have committed to drafting position players high, especially college position players in drafts, but then they've done a really nice job of finding value later in drafts or also undrafted free agent signings.
Yeah, exactly. And it's for a good reason, because, you know, there's more depth, more diamonds in the rough on the pitching side that you can find later. For the position side, I think.
Here's a ground ball out to second. Could be 2-0. Farrell to Arias, over to Stafford at first, and the inning is over. 4-6-3 on the inning-ending double play. Two innings of one-run ball for Luis De Leon. We'll continue the conversation when we come back for the bottom of the second. Birds up 2-1 here on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. We move to the home half of the second inning here at Ripken Stadium in Aberdeen. The Ironbirds lead it 2-1 over the Jersey Shore Blue Claws. Game two of today's doubleheader, game three of this six-game series overall. Bob, so far so good for Luis De Leon. Two innings of one-run ball, got a double play ball to end the last inning. And the Birds have the lead thanks to the De Los Santos two-run double.
Yeah, De Leon looks pretty darn good tonight. Hopefully he can keep it up, and hopefully the offense continues to hit, which they haven't done a ton of this year.
Here's Jake Cunningham with Anudis Mordaunt and Ryan Stafford to follow 7-8-9 in the Birds' order against Casey Stewart, who was off to a solid start in the first, two outs and no runs in, and then De Los Santos with the two-run double off the base of the wall in right field. You got to be really strong to hit one off the wall opposite field in this ballpark.
Yeah, that was a laser. I'd love to know the exit velocity, but it was hard regardless.
Cunningham takes a strike on the inner half, 2-1 now. Stewart last pitched on July 3rd at home against Wilmington. He got hit around quite a bit, 7 runs on 12 hits in 4 innings. Just one of those days that you want to just forget about. And so far today, he's allowed the 2 runs in 1+, but a chance for him to settle down as well. And Jake Cunningham trying to start it up. Hitters count 3-1, grounded foul into the Ironbirds dugout, knocked somebody off that top step.
Cunningham, the tool shed, as Brad Seelick once declared him. You can see he's got all the physical abilities. He's just trying to put it together.
Fifth-round pick a few years back out of the University of Charlotte. Had a chance to represent the Orioles in the Arizona Fall League this past year. 3-2, that's ball four. Good take on the outer half. So he is on base in front of Anudis Mordaunt, the catcher. All right, Bob, I'm going to ask you the same question, but flip it around. Position players in the Orioles organization. One guy that people should keep an eye on, position player that has not played in the big leagues in this farm system right now.
There's a couple options. I'm going to go with the new exciting guy who's probably going to be here in a few weeks, in Nate George. I think just an electric player. Just turned 19 a couple weeks ago and just plays like his hair is on fire, and he has not looked like he's had a challenge yet in the FCL and low A Delmarva. I think he could be a guy that is a top 100 player sooner rather than later.
That's pretty high praise. We're not just talking about one of the top guys in this Orioles system. Here's a hard hit ground ball foul up the third baseline for Mordaunt, but you're saying could be a top 100 guy in the entire sport. That's how good we're talking.
Yeah, when he was drafted in 16th round, and he'll tell you he's not a 16th round talent, but his agent compared him to Mike Trout, and maybe that's a little more justified than we thought at the time.
So we're talking about a guy who was drafted out of high school, and normally you don't see a guy sign when he's picked in the 16th round. You go to college, whatever D1 school you're committed to, or a junior college to keep your draft options open, and you raise that draft stock considerably. But clearly there were a few reasons why he decided to sign. Of course, the money's got to be there with right. When a guy has that much leverage, but maybe he just liked the opportunity. But either way, he's in the organization now.
Yeah, and he's progressing nicely. You want to keep challenging these guys. Like I said, he's yet to be challenged. So I think he's probably going to end the year here in Aberdeen and hopefully give these viewers a show.
Cunningham just took off for second, but he has to return as Mordaunt fouls that one away. Some guys just want to play pro baseball, and you know they don't necessarily want to go to college. Now, I don't know what the deal is with Nate. I'm not going to just make assumptions. But either way, he's in the Orioles organization. They are so happy to have him. And yeah, like you said, we're not talking about just a top guy in this system, but among all 30 systems, we're talking about a top-tier talent. Now 1-2 pitch coming to Mordaunt. He gets a hold of one and gives it a ride to deep left center, but Avery Owusu-Asedu is there to make the catch. And there is a loud out number one in the second.
Yeah, George is a five-tool type of player. He plays great defense in all three outfield spots. He has a cannon for an arm. He attempts to steal a lot. He gets a bunch of steals. He's got to work on being a little more successful there, but aggressive player. He hits the ball hard, hits a ton of contact, so it's really nothing he can't do.
Here's the nine-hole hitter, Ryan Stafford, a catcher who has started at games at first, second, and right field this season for the Ironbirds. He takes a strike, counts 0-1. I'm curious, who were a couple of the other guys that you were considering for that answer?
Clearly Samuel Basayo, but I feel like everybody knows right, what he's right. doing. He's probably going to be one of the best young players in the game sooner rather than later. But Dylan Beavers was my other choice. Just really turned it on this year. Everything just seemed to click for him in AAA. I mean, he's putting up a heck of a season. Average, getting on base, starting to show some pop. He's an athlete, so he should get a major league shot soon too, I think, maybe after the deadline.
Cunningham takes off again. Pitch misses high and away. The throw down from Disson is right on target. A quick snap tag from Aaron Escobar, and Cunningham is retired. Well, Bob, that was an excellent throw by Jordan Disson. Maybe an even better tag by Aaron Escobar.
Yeah, really, that was pretty nice there. The only way you were going to be safe on that is pull what Cedric Mullins did the other day, where you kind of go with the left hand, pull it back, go around with the right. But
there's a bunt attempt from Stafford, but he pulled back. It's 2-1. Birds lead it 2-1, home half of the second inning. I'm glad you brought up Beavers, because he's a really fun, exciting player. Maybe a little bit overshadowed by some other names in the organization, but he was on that 2023 Ironbirds roster and struggled early on that season, but there's one guy where in front of my own eyes I saw him develop into a stud and make the adjustments at this level to carry him to Double A, and he was the best player in the league over the last 5-6 weeks he was in High A.
Yeah, by all reports, I don't know personally, but apparently he's a tinkerer, you know, always messed around with his stance and
yep.
his swing.
Big tinkerer. That's a foul ball into the seats right there.
But whatever he's tinkered his way into is working for him, so hopefully he keeps it up.
Yeah. When he was drafted, he got a lot of Christian Yelich comps, and I think that's probably a comp that he still gets.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comp, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, very similar skill set in terms of athletic outfielder who you could put at all three outfield spots. He can hit for power, but when he's at his best, it's doubles and triples and just putting the ball in play.
Absolutely. As one of our patrons likes to say, he's kind of a Kyle Tucker light as well.
Okay, yeah. I like that. Yeah, and that's not a knock because, Kyle Tucker's one of the best players in the game. He might get $500 million this offseason.
Right,
so
exactly.
If you're like him but the light version, I think a lot of people would take that.
Yeah, maybe not the home run power exactly, but similar type of player.
Stafford gets a hold of one and sends it to right center, but Dragu is there to make the catch. And the inning is over. The Birds send the minimum three to the plate because Cunningham was caught stealing. But another base runner and some more productive ABs. After two here in Aberdeen, the Birds still lead it 2-1 over the Claws. We'll head to the top of the third next on MILB-TV and Bally Live. Top of the third inning from Ripken Stadium. Birds 2, Claws 1. 7-inning games today for the doubleheader. The Birds lost 2-0 in 7 in game 1. They lead it 2-1 here in another 7-inning game, game 2. Trying to split their fifth doubleheader of the season. The Ironbirds have split each of their first four twin bills this year. And they're off to a good start. It's Luis Caicudo, Aaron Escobar, and Nick Bittison. 9-1-2 for the Claws against left-hander Luis De Leon, who has really settled in nicely. 3 strikeouts through 2 innings, and he's allowed just the 1 run on 2 hits. First pitch to Caicudo, gets a swing and a miss. Bob, the numbers for De Leon this season: enters play with a 4.28 ERA through 6 games, 5 starts since coming off the IL. 27 and a third innings of work, so a small sample size. K rate is down a little bit. It's at about 19% this year as he gets another swing and a miss, 0-2. The walk rate in single digits, though, at about 9.8%. Last season overall, the K rate was at 26.3%, the walk rate at 12.2. So improving with the control, but just the strikeouts aren't quite there yet as he comes back from the injury.
Yeah, and I just wonder if he's just more focused about finding the plate a little more often right now. But, I mean, strikeouts are up tonight, so hopefully, you know, just a trend that continues because he's got serious upside.
Yeah, the 3 punchouts tonight, a good sign, of course, putting himself in a position to go deep in this game. Through 20 pitches in the first, 16 in the second. 1-2, that's low, and it skips away from Mordan. 2-2
might be seeing why he's going to the changeup. Might not have a great feel for the slider tonight.
Yeah. One of the best stats that I've come across, really in my tenure here with the Ironbirds, is for Luis De Leon. He went 103rd innings into his pro career without allowing a home run. That's incredible to go triple-digit innings without giving up a home run. He allowed his first home run on May 2nd, 2024, did not allow a home run, and only allowed 9 extra base hits through 81 and two-thirds through his first two pro seasons. That's just incredible.
Yeah, and I don't think he's given up one this year either. So, yeah, it's just one of the things he does. He's got that sinker. Like I said, he gets a lot of ground balls, and sometimes you give up a little more hits when you're a sinker baller, but, yeah, when you can limit the damage without giving up home runs and extra base hits, it certainly helps.
Yeah, no home runs allowed this season. He's only allowed 5 in over 200 innings in his career. Hot shot up the middle. Nice sliding stop by
Beautiful.
O'Farrell. Long throw to first. In time. Oh, wow, not in time. Oh, I thought for sure he had him. Stafford did a nice job on the stretch there.
Very close play.
Wow. That's a great play by O'Farrell up the middle. There are so many times when I'm calling the game, and if a ball's hit somewhere in his general direction, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Same thing for Vance Honeycutt in the outfield, probably Austin Overn too, Enrique Bradfield, Judd Fabian, guys who've come here in previous years. But O'Farrell's in that category.
Yeah.
With if something's hit near him, I'll give him a shot.
Serious range there.
Here's Escobar, lines one to the left center field gap. That's down in front of Overn. First to third for Caicudo. The throw to second is there in time. Was the tag in time? No. Ooh. It's a hustle double for Aaron Escobar. And now it's second and third with no outs for Jersey Shore.
Yeah, I was telling you in between innings, I'd love for this guy to be a future Oriole if the Phillies want to come and get one of the Oriole starters or Ryan O'Hearn or Cedric Mullins, what have you. Good player.
The power in the bat is what has been the difference for Aaron Escobar this year. That's why he tore up the Florida State League. He was in the top 5 in so many notable offensive categories and then comes up to high A and is already swinging the bat really well in his first week with the Blue Claws. Singled and walked in the first game today, and now here in the nightcap of the doubleheader has doubled the setup second and third. Now Jeremy Heilman is out to chat with Luis De Leon and the entire infield. Well, Bob, this is what happened in the first. Back-to-back hits at one point started a Jersey Shore rally, but he worked through it.
Yeah, he's certainly getting to test himself here, and this is when you want that swing and miss stuff. The grounder isn't going to do quite as much. It might give up a run, so you want to stop him here, get a pop-up, strikeout.
We talked about the strikeouts with De Leon. He's only averaging about 7.5 Ks per nine with Aberdeen this year. That's not counting his work in Delmarva on rehab. But he had a season-high 7 strikeouts and 4 1/3 in his last outing on July 3rd at Greensboro. So that's encouraging right there.
Yeah, you always want to be trending upwards. And, yeah, he's off to a slow start. Basically, he's in another spring training. He might, you know, innings-wise, just be coming out of that phase in the last start or two.
Meeting on the mound is over. Runners at second and third with no outs in the third. Birds lead it 2-1, but the tying and go-ahead runs are in scoring position. Here's Nick Bittison, pitches outside. Mordan with a nice stop to keep it from the backstop. 1-0. And De Leon's only outing against Jersey Shore this year, it was June 14th at Jersey Shore. Gave up 3 runs in 4 innings with 1 strikeout and 3 walks. He's pitched better so far tonight. But he's in another jam right now. 1-0, swing and a miss. Good pitch low and away. His entire arsenal, he can throw all 5 of those pitches to right-handed hitters, and I think that's what makes him so effective against righties.
Yeah, that's pretty unique for a left-handed pitcher.
Infield is in about halfway for the Birds. 1-1, swing and a miss. Bittison looked like he was looking for something else right there. 1-2.
Yeah, it was not an A swing that you're looking for when you're ahead in the count or even.
The infield stays halfway. Birds trying to cut off this run if they can. Bittison slaps one foul up the first baseline, and that's the one spot where he can just flick one down the line and he'll bring home 2 easily because Stafford, the first baseman, is way off that line. They're basically giving it to him.
Yeah. hoping for a ground ball right at somebody if he can't strike him out.
De Leon with a long look in at his catcher, Mordan. As the Ironbirds try to cut off a run, no outs here in the third. Two in scoring position for the Claws. 1-2, called strike three, bottom of the zone. That'll help the cause. Four strikeouts now for De Leon.
Yeah, just beautifully placed splitter. Just no chance there.
So that's a start. Out number one. That brings up Avery Owusu Asedu. So AOA continues to swing a hot bat. Had an RBI single in the first inning. Now he comes up with two on base. And he hit that ball, Bob, that Overn lost in the sun, that liner to left center. That would have been down for a hit either way.
Much better conditions in the outfield right
Absolutely. Now. Absolutely. We've got the shadow coverage across the entire diamond now. A lot easier for these outfielders. 1-0 fouled away. It's just a tough ballpark to play in, really, any way you look at it. From an outfielder perspective, dealing with the sun the first few innings, from a hitter perspective, well, we know the issues with how deep it is.
Yeah, a lot of space.
The batter's eye is not quite as high as a lot of guys would like or big enough. 1-1, grounded out to O'Farrell. He's got a play at the plate. Here's the throw, the tag from Mordan. It's in and out of his glove. And now De Leon's got to pick it up and throw home. The tag on Escobar, he's safe as well. Snap throw to first, not in time. An infield grounder to the second baseman, O'Farrell. The Birds don't get anybody out. And the Blue Claws score twice to take the lead.
Yeah, that was an adventure.
Wow.
I think he had a shot if he held on to the ball, but unfortunately.
Yeah, O'Farrell, right away, you could see him come up on that baseball, and he was coming home with it. He had a play. They had him in time. Mordan couldn't hold on to the throw. And then it got away from, I don't know if he kicked it or what, or if the runner kicked it. It got out towards the pitcher's mound. And that's when Escobar saw that he had an opportunity, and he scored.
Yeah, another close play, too.
So just like that, it's 3-2 Jersey Shore.
I mean, the throw from O'Farrell might have been a little bit to the right of home plate, but still.
Yeah, like if we're going to nitpick, but yeah, you know. It's
still a good play, though.
Still, yeah, still in time, still a good throw, and I'm sure Mordan knows he could have had it. I mean, if he does hold on, they get an out at the plate, it's two outs. And it's first and third. Instead, one out, runner at first, two in.
Yeah, that's a big difference, I'd say. But double play away from getting out of the inning now.
De Leon did get a double play to end the second. Could really use one here. So the official scoring on that Owusu Asedu ground ball. We'll get that in a moment. 2-0, that's low. So it's an RBI fielder's choice grounder. And then Escobar scores. They gave O'Farrell a throwing error. That's how it's officially scored. I'm just the messenger. That's you know, that's not me saying anything there. That's how it was scored.
Yeah.
3-0. I think the only other thing you could do is give the error on Mordan, but I guess they're saying that it wasn't the most routine catch. I don't know, but right. That's just the official scoring.
Yeah, hard to blame De Leon, and I'm glad he's not going to get any earned runs on that because he did his job. He got the ground ball right at the guy. Unfortunate set of circumstances afterwards. He's probably got to settle down here, though, as a four-pitch walk.
So Ware just walked. Bryson Ware down to first. Here's Elio Prado, De Leon's former teammate. Both runners take off, pitch fouled away. Well, if Prado had just let that one go by, it's second and third, one out.
Yeah.
They had him stolen.
De Leon doing his best Corbin Burns impression, holding runners on the mound.
Three runs on four hits, no errors for Jersey Shore. Two runs on two hits, one error for Aberdeen. We're in the top of the third inning. De Leon looking to work through a jam. Both runners dancing off their bags once again. 0-1, that's low and away. Prado, once again, a patient approach. De Leon, a couple looks at it second. Both runners looking to go. They don't. Prado swings and misses at a pitch down on the zone. That's a great off-speed pitch right there to get ahead.
Yeah, that was a big swing. Hopefully now he can set him up to just try to protect the plate and get some weak contact.
Another big pitch coming here to Elio Prado. Here it is from De Leon. Skipped in the dirt. Owusu Asedu takes off for third. He gets there without a throw. It's now first and third thanks to the wild pitch. Mordan, that's a heck of a job just to keep it in front and keep it close, but you could tell AOA was really itching to run from the jump at second base, and he gets to third.
Yeah, he's just in a mood to run tonight, I think.
Any excuse to go, he was off.
Yep. Double play, still yeah. still here.
Going to say the same thing. Double play still gets you out of it. Speaking into existence here, I'm right. Thinking like a roll over to short right here, a little 6-4-3 action. Ware stayed at first, did not go on the wild pitch. 2-2, lifted in the air to shallow center.
You know he's going to go for it. Yeah.
Here comes over, and AOA tags. Here's the throw to the plate. It's a good one. The tag for Mordan. Oh, he didn't get him. They called him safe at the plate. I don't know about that. Wow. Austin Overn almost had his third outfield assist of the series. He made an excellent throw. It took Mordan up the line a little bit, but that's not an issue because Mordan almost had to go that way anyway to tag the runner, and they're going to say that AOA is safe at the plate. That's the home plate umpire, Nick Mull, that made the call right there. Bob, I don't know.
Yeah, it certainly seems like Mordan believes that he tagged him, and I tend to believe him just from our vantage point here. No replay system, unfortunately, in A-ball.
Yeah, that's tough. That is really tough. Ryan Gall, the Ironbirds manager, out to chat with the home plate umpire, Nick Mull, there. And, man, I'm telling you, I don't know how he missed him completely. I have a feeling some part of that glove got his jersey.
Strong throw, though, from Overn.
Yeah. Yeah, he has really shown flashes of excellence in the outfield this season, running down balls, but also the arm. And I think he had an outfield assist taken away from him right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Overn, haven't really had a chance to say much about, but he's a guy I like a lot, too. Another five-tool type of player who can do a little bit of everything, especially the speed, just like Bradfield and, yep, and all those guys. He's got the speed.
So AOA scored on the sac fly. Ware moved to second. Prado credited with an RBI. And Jersey Shore tacks on a run. It's now 4-2. Three runs in this inning. Disson walked his first time up. 1-1 pitches down. I had a chance to catch up with Jordan Disson during the Arizona Fall League this past year. He represented the Phillies out there. And Disson's a Philly area guy. So if I meet another Philly area guy in baseball, like, we're going to have that instant bond.
Yeah.
So got to bond over that with Disson.
Whiz-wit.
Yeah. 2-1. Funny enough, I don't go with either of those. I'm getting real cheese on mine, and I'm not getting onions. Right-hander Trent Terzinski's up in the pen for the Birds. Disson calls for time. Disson had the opportunity to catch Andrew Painter quite a bit in the Arizona Fall League. He ended up becoming like his personal catcher out there. So he got to see one of the up-and-coming studs in our game.
Yeah, nice to see Painter healthy this year,
yep,
throwing well. The injuries, man, they got to stop.
2-2 pitch, fouled away. Well, he was going to pitch in the Futures game, and then they took him off the roster.
Yeah, I kind of get it, but.
Yeah. Well, so he was named an Arizona Fall League Fall Star this past year, and in the worst way, everybody wanted him to start that game, but the Phillies didn't want him to throw in the Fall Stars game because it would have taken him off turn, and I get that.
Yeah, you got to do everything you can because it doesn't seem like there's much you can do, but any little thing you can to keep these guys healthy, you got to try to do it.
2-2's outside counts, full on Disson. And the issue with that was not just bringing him back a little bit earlier, but was, you know, in the All-Star game, you're going to throw one inning, whereas they wanted him to go 3-4-5 and stay on that routine and get his innings out in the Fall League.
Yeah, your adrenaline's probably pumping. You're going to be throwing a little bit harder. Tends to happen. So, yeah, it makes sense.
3-2, liner into center. That's a base hit and might score another. Ware around third heading home. Here's the throw from Overn. Another good throw. The tag just a little bit late. Two excellent throws from Austin Overn here in the inning, And I am shocked that Bryson Ware didn't slide right there.
Yeah.
Because if he was maybe a millisecond later crossing that plate, he's out, because the throw was literally right where it needed to be.
Perfect throw, right on target, just beat it by a split second.
It's an RBI single for Jordan Disson. It's now 5-2 Jersey Shore, a four-run top of the third.
Yeah, things have kind of gone a little bit off the rails here, but I still kind of like the way De Leon's been throwing.
He's showing pretty good.
He should have been out of this inning a while ago.
Showing good body language, too. Like, he's not flustered. But, yeah, you go back to the play at the plate and even
the missed call.
The other play at the plate with the missed call. Well,
potentially.
So we think. I mean, I don't want to just, like, have to see a replay later and be like, wow, I was so wrong on that. But, man, from our angle, the only angle we had, it looked like Mordaunt had him.
Yeah, certainly did.
De Leon looks at first. First pitch to Pierce Bennett, grounded foul up the third baseline. A lot of times, and I'm not going to say that this is how every umpire operates, but when the guy's out by that much and the catcher, you know, kind of pushes him out of that base, like, you figure, like, you're going to get the out call.
Yeah.
Like, I was genuinely shocked he called him safe there. Unless we just had the worst angle and he blatantly missed him with the tag, who knows, but looked out.
Maybe just the way that Mordaunt swung his arm made it look like he missed him. I'm not sure. But just the reaction from Mordaunt, the disbelief, kind of tells me he got something.
So 1-1 now on Bennett, the DH. He's the eighth batter of the inning. One fouled back. Count goes to 1-2 now. So De Leon, Ironbird's given him the opportunity to work through this inning. Trent Terzinski is up and probably warm in that bullpen. Jersey Shore leads at 5-2.
Yeah, 70 pitches in the third inning. It's not exactly where you want to be, but, hey, at least he's getting his pitches in and he's going to get a chance to work through it, like you said.
One, two, high and away.
Wonder how many of those pitches are in this inning, because it's quite a few, I believe.
Yeah, and like you said, he should have been out of it. He's thrown a lot more pitches than he needed to. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Disson over at first. Next
there
pitch. Called strike three on the outer half, and there's five punch outs now for Luis De Leon. Not the ideal third inning. He allows four runs. It happens on three hits, including a double, a single, and then an RBI single. And it's 5-2 Jersey Shore after 2.5. So the Birds' lead vanished just like that. We'll see if they can get it back. Down three as we go to the home third on MILB TV and Bally Live. Birds down 5-2 as we go to the home half of the third inning here in Aberdeen. Top of the order, Overn, O'Farrell, and Estrada. See what OV can do with the bat. Grounded out to second his first time up. First pitch from the right-hander, Stewart, misses low, 1-0. Well, Bob, it was a tough run, a four-run third inning for the Blue Claws against Luis De Leon. Austin Overton was a big bright spot in that inning, made two fantastic throws to the plate. One of them literally couldn't have put it in a better spot. It just so happened that that one was a little late. The other one to the plate, either Mordaunt missed the tag or the umpire missed the call, one of those two. But Austin doing his thing with the arm out there.
Yeah, certainly did his best to try to make up for the play in the first inning when he lost the ball in the sun, which might have been a hit anyway. But, yeah, certainly flashing his skills out there in center field. And I'll be curious to see how Overton develops as he's solely focused on baseball now. Two-way player at USC. I wonder how much that affected where the Orioles were able to get him in the draft.
Swing and a miss there. I mean, he's got such a great skill set. Plays the game fast. I mean, everything about it, aggressive, fast.
I feel like he's getting better at taking his walks as the year goes on, too, showing some patience. He's got more power in the bat than his numbers would indicate as well. Oof.
There's a called strike three, and he is down for out number one here in the third. Three strikeouts for the right-hander Casey Stewart. That brings up Griff O'Farrell. O'Farrell, another guy, great instincts defensively, Bob. We saw in the last inning, charged that ball, hit to him at second. The throw towards the plate. They ended up giving O'Farrell the throwing error, but it was – you look at the box score – versus looking at the actual game, and you see two different plays right there.
Yeah, didn't hesitate, had the right instinct to just come up immediately, throw to the plate. Looked like a throw was good enough. I might have given the error to Mordaunt, but just unfortunate that they couldn't make the play happen.
O'Farrell fouls one back. The count is 1-1. O'Farrell singled and scored in the first. Anderson De Los Santos, a two-run double in inning number one. That has provided the only two runs for the Ironbirds in this game and in the doubleheader today. They got shut out 2-0 in game one. 1-1, ripped down the right field line, foul.
Yeah, that swing in the first inning for O'Farrell is what I think you want to see a little bit more often. Just took the pitch right up the middle, line drive. Good launch angle for his type of hitter he is. Fly balls are great and all, but you got to have the exit velocity to kind of go with it.
Yep. 1-2 pitch fouled away. Now, a lot of these guys are strong. Like, we're talking physical specimens. You got to be a professional athlete. But Griff O'Farrell, one of the strongest dudes that you will see just, like, up close, sends one to deep right field, and Dragoo is there to make the catch. But the Ironbirds do sleeveless Saturday here in Aberdeen, so everybody's rocking the cutoff shirts. And, like, I see Griff hitting in the cage, you know, on sleeveless Saturday. I'm like, all right, this dude's been hitting the weight room. Like, there's, like, you just see it. You're like, damn, this guy has got some serious strength, and I think he's going to continue to hit the ball harder. And whether the home runs come or it's line drives to the gap, but we're talking about a fun player.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm sure he's going to be a guy that's going to continue to try to hit the weight room and increase his strength every offseason. And if that happens, then maybe these fly balls will start finding their way out of the park or, like you said, for extra bases.
Here's Aaron Estrada, who was my guest on today's pregame show before game one of the doubleheader. Takes low, count is 2-0. Two outs, no one on here in the bottom of the third with the Birds down three. Estrada's a really fun player, a guy who you can throw at five different positions and figure you're going to get some solid defense.
Just a guy I've loved since the Orioles signed him and he started showing up in box scores in the Dominican Summer League. Just seemed like didn't strike out a bunch, always hitting. Just one of those guys that didn't sign for much, but just hit his way into the prospect radar, and now he's a top 15 prospect for us, according to our list at least.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again now because the trade deadline's coming up, and not to say that the Orioles would be trading away from their minor league team this year. They're probably going to be taking in minor leaguers because they'll sell a little bit, you figure, with at least the free agents to be, as Estrada takes ball four. That's a five-pitch walk to bring up Sosa, but he's a guy that any organization would want because of how many positions he plays, because he switch hits, and because he makes a ton of contact. So you look at maybe the future outlook for a guy like him. At the very least, I think he could find a role on a big league bench somewhere because of all the things I just mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. Bare minimum, I would think he'd have a role on a bench somewhere as a utility player, if not a starter somewhere. But I wouldn't be shocked if the Orioles surprised and kind of bought and sold at the same time. Maybe try to get a pitcher that's under control beyond 2025. And because there's still a great core of players that, you know, they're going to be competitive again in 2026. And after sweeping the Mets today, they're only 8 games under all of a sudden. So who knows? It's a very long shot, but a little bit of both, I think.
Pitch misses downstairs to Sosa, and the count is 1-1. I think it's pretty clear that if they've got a deal to make where they can bring in and buy a controllable starting pitcher, they'll do it. At least one or two of the impending free agents are going to go. There's no doubt, especially because there are more buyers than sellers this year. Estrada takes off, throw down to second is right on target, but Estrada beat it, got the hand in there.
Yep. No, you're right. Yeah, I still expect Ryan O'Hearn, Cedric Mullins, Sir Anthony Dominguez, those types of the guys that will be free agents anyway at the end of the year to go. But I don't think that honestly precludes the Orioles from continuing to try to get back into it, because there's still a lot of guys they can replace the guys that are going to potentially be traded with and still remain competitive.
Estrada to second after the stolen base, 2-1 on Sosa. Do you think they trade either of or both of Morton and Eflin?
I think it's possible. I think Morton is definitely going to be a guy teams are going to want to acquire, just because, I mean, he had a disastrous April. There's no doubt about it. It was a miracle he survived beyond that. But since then, he's been excellent, and he's got postseason experience. And yeah, I think he'll go. Eflin, if he's healthy, could be potentially dealt as well if a team thinks he can bounce back. Maybe he's the guy that the Orioles say, let's buy low and do a little extension with him. I'm not sure, but I would expect at least one of Morton, Eflin, Sugano to be dealt.
2-1 swing and a miss. And they, of course, Sugano, the free agent to be as well. Something makes me think they hold on to him because, one, he's been solid. Two, he might not have as much appeal pitching late in the season or playoff-wise because he's not necessarily a strikeout guy, an overpowering guy, but also because they've just dipped into talent in Japan. They don't want to kind of hurt those relations.
Yeah, that was exactly my point on our show on Monday night on the podcast was, you know, that's a market they're trying to get into, and he's a very popular player over there, so I would, again, not be shocked if he's stuck around as well.
Yeah, and if they lose him in free agents in the offseason, that's a different story. But to sign a guy out of Japan but then trade him before the season ends, yeah, I mean, that takes away a part of a fan base. There's a swing and a miss.
Yeah,
Sosa
sure.
goes down swinging. Two more strikeouts for Casey Stewart in the bottom of the third. And just like that, we are through three here in Aberdeen. The Birds still trail the Blue Claws 5-2. We'll head to the fourth next on the Birds Broadcast Network. Top of the fourth inning from Ripken Stadium, Michael Marcantonini and Bob Phelan from the Orioles on the Verge podcast joining me on the broadcast tonight. The Birds led 2-1 into the top of the third, but the Blue Claws exploded for 4 runs. They did it on 3 hits, and now after the Birds went quietly in the home half of the third, Luis De Leon is back out for the fourth. Bob wasn't necessarily expecting him to be back out, but I think they want to have him throw at least a few more pitches.
Yeah, I'm guessing they want to get him to at least over that 75 mark, maybe 80, just to continue to get his arm built back up coming back from injury.
Yeah, not only that, they probably wanted him to do at least one more up-down.
That's
which,
true, too.
Which is a big thing with the guys in the minor leagues. Like, in the big leagues, you get a hit around. The win-loss means that much. You're going to go to the bullpen right away when you need to. But if a guy's getting a hit around a little bit, doesn't have his best stuff in the minors, you're probably leaving him out there. One, to see if he can work through it, but two, to get him his pitches and the up-downs of sitting down in between innings, then going back out there and seeing how they react to that.
Absolutely. I mean, minor league baseball, it's all about the progression, the learning experience, the development, more so than the results. Obviously, you want to see that, but, you know, like I said earlier, it's not linear all the time.
Fly ball down the right field line, foul, and the count is 2-2 on the 8-hole hitter, Joel Dragoo, with Luis Caicedo and Aaron Escobar to follow, 8-9-1. De Leon was at 72 pitches through four. You figure he has won maybe two batters. They might want to get him through this order the second time, and then once Escobar's due up, go to Terzinski.
Still hitting 95 with the fastball, so clearly not too exhausted.
Yeah, he's bounced back pretty well. Five runs on five hits against him. Here's a looping fly ball to left. Estrada went a step back. Now he's in to make the catch. One out in the fourth.
It looks like he's going to get at least one more batter.
Yeah, this seems like another up-down two times through the lineup situation right here. And then Terzinski. You never know. He may face Escobar.
This is a fun matchup.
So Luis Caicedo, who did not play in game one, ripped a single and then scored in that four-run third inning, his first time up tonight. Caicedo caught the seven-inning combined no-hitter for the Blue Claws back on July 2nd. The eighth no-hitter in Blue Claws history. 1-0, grounds it to third. De Los Santos is there to gobble it up. Strong throw to first. Two gone here as Caicedo slipped across the bag. De Leon will see if he gets Escobar. Looking at Ryan Gaul, the Ironbirds manager, in the dugout. I think they're going to let him face Escobar.
Yeah, this is probably his last batter no matter what. But nice little play there by De Los Santos. He's a big guy, but he's pretty solid at third base. Got a nice arm.
And now Caicedo taking his time walking across the diamond. I mean, really taking his time. I guess he's okay. Greg Brodzinski, the manager for the Blue Claws, checking on him. Giving De Leon a little breather there. I think that's what he was doing.
Yeah, he's helping us out here.
So back to the top for Aaron Escobar. Hard hit double his last time up. .828 OPS in 69 Florida State League games before the promotion. Had a .131 weighted runs created plus. .392 weighted on base average. Swinging strike rate of only 10.7%. Pop and gets the bat on the ball.
Yeah, it's a great combination of skills right there.
1-0, high chopper out to short. Arias
nice
with a nice
play.
Low pick. Throw to first in time. That's a really, really nice play by Leandro Arias. And Luis De Leon, that's probably it for him. And if it is, he ended his night on a high note. Retires the side in order in the fourth. And he gets the Birds back into the dugout looking for some runs. Birds down three as we go to the home fourth after this. Bottom of the fourth inning in Aberdeen. It is Jersey Shore 5, Aberdeen 2. The Birds got their only two runs in the first inning. The man at the plate drove in both with a two-run double. Here's Anderson De Los Santos. He takes low and in from Casey Stewart, and the count's 1-0. Arias and Cunningham to follow. Bob, it's been a decent night offensively for the Ironbirds. They had the two runs in the first. They've had a runner on in each of the last two innings. And for the most part, it looks like they're getting some good swings against Casey Stewart, just looking to break through.
Yeah, exactly. I've been pretty impressed with the approach tonight, that's for sure.
Two-run double off the base of the wall in right field for DLS's first time up. 2-0, big cut there. Came up empty 2-1.
I think he was looking fastball on that one.
And if he got it, it might have traveled pretty far.
Yeah, that was a good swing. Just a little ahead of it.
Tied for the team lead with 5 home runs. He's also driven in 27. The OPS creeping over 700. It's at 708 right now. 2-1. That's in for a strike. And OPS numbers can be a little bit deceiving
at
times.
That's what I was looking up, because he's got that OPS, but that's actually 10% better than league average. So.
Right. Like, normally you look at a 708 OPS and you're thinking, like, when you're in the eights, we're talking really, really good. If you're in the mid-sevens, solid. If you're just over seven, you're getting there. But offense overall in baseball is down a little bit. In the minors, in this ballpark, I mean, it's very deceiving.
Yeah, that's why I generally like to...
Well, now he gets one up in the air down the left field line. This one's got a shot. Prado's back.
Goodbye.
And that one is not coming back. Anderson De Los Santos clears the wall and left. And the Birds tack on another run. It's a 5-3 game. A two-run double in the first. And a leadoff homer here in the fourth. Se fue pa' la calle. Anderson De Los Santos just hit his team-leading sixth homer of the year. And he took his time circling those pillows.
Yeah, the OPS just went up a little bit.
Yep.
But I was saying, I generally like to look at WRC Plus as opposed to just the OPS, because it just takes into context everything from the league. And, that was pretty impressive home run there.
Now, off the bat, I wasn't sure. But once I saw Prado just kind of slow down around the track, I'm like, all right, that one's not coming back.
Yeah, if you're going to hit him here, you got to kind of pull it dead left or right, and he certainly did that.
It just didn't sound off the bat like a no-doubter, but he is so strong, and he got enough hang time on that it carried out of here. So Anderson De Los Santos has driven in all three runs tonight for the Ironbirds, a couple of extra base hits, and the Birds are within two.
I actually think his double the opposite way was probably hit harder, but just
yeah.
he got the air under it and just enough to get out of here.
It's the fifth time this season an Ironbird has multiple extra base hits in a game. The last to do it was Griff O'Farrell on July 5th this past weekend against Greensboro. But De Los Santos has the double and the homer now. And he'll hit, you figure, once more tonight, maybe twice. And there's Leandro Arias who takes ball four. And now the tying run coming to bat, it's Jake Cunningham. You never know with these seven-inning games, because you're... Every player is not guaranteed 3 plate appearances. The bottom 3 guys in the order are only guaranteed 2, but the way things are going, fourth inning, De Los Santos just let off. He will hit again.
Yeah, I would certainly think so. And Cunningham here, he's got some pop in the bat. If he gets a hold of one, we could have a tie game, but we'll see what happens.
So 5-3, our score, Jersey Shore in front. It's the Blue Claws and the Ironbirds playing as the Sinceros Increíbles de Aberdeen tonight, the Incredible Cowbells of Aberdeen, and that nickname stems from the cowbells, not cowbells, but the cowbells that are cowbells but called cowbells. You follow me there? I don't know if I made any sense there, but they're nicknamed the cowbells because of course, Cal Ripken Jr., but they are actually cowbells that make the noise.
And we got to see an example of his incredible acting skills on the big screen here.
Yeah,
I
ring
love
those
his
bells.
Commercials on Masson as well.
Yep. He's versatile.
Yeah.
But yes, cowbells that are called cowbells that are cowbells. Understand?
Clear as a bell.
Snap throw back to first. Arias isn't there. But that's, I think it's a rough translation. I don't think it's a direct translation. But, yeah, that's what they are going with for the three Copa nights. This is the second of three.
Cool little uniforms. I like them.
Liner to left. That's down for a base hit in front of Prado. Cunningham is aboard with a base hit. The last three have reached for the Ironbirds. Homer walks single to start this fourth inning. And now the tying runs on base. Go-ahead run at the plate for Anudis Mordaunt.
Talk about a guy that can get a hold of one.
Yeah.
Mordaunt, he doesn't always make contact, but when he does.
His first time up tonight, skied a breaking ball to deep center. And maybe if he's back on it a little bit more, it goes. But he gave it a ride.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a position where the Orioles are loaded up and down. The organization is catcher from the majors all the way down to rookie ball. It's just something they put a lot of emphasis on, and you kind of see why.
Good problem to have is to be deep at that position of all positions because it's so important. Mordaunt takes a strike. No outs. This is a potential bunt situation, but I don't know that they have Mordaunt bunt.
I don't know if he could.
And also with the way you've started the inning, I don't know that you try to break up the rally by bunting. But the Claws are playing for it on the infield. 0-1, liner to left center. That's down for a base hit. It'll bring home one. Here comes Arias from second. Cunningham into third. Mordaunt caught between first and second, but it's an RBI single for Anudis Mordaunt as he jogs back to first. The Birds are within one.
Nice piece of hitting there.
Yeah, forget the bunt. I mean, the first baseman for Jersey Shore, it's not Kaikuto anymore. Looks like he's out of the game after twisting his ankle. It's Zach Arnold. He was potentially expecting bunt, or at least ready for it. But Mordaunt's like, you know what, I'm just going to send one to the outfield instead.
Yeah, why not?
Good job by Cunningham to go first to third.
I was going to say another catcher you guys should be seeing soon, maybe as soon as next week, is Yasmel Buche down in Delmarva. He's another guy that just hits the ball really hard.
Meeting on the mound with Ryan Buchter, the Blue Claws pitching coach. First and third, no outs. The first four have reached. Ryan Stafford is due up with the Birds down 5-4. In the home half of the fourth inning. Well, you mentioned the depth of the catcher position in the Orioles organization, Bob. In between innings, we were talking about potential trade partners for the Orioles with certain players. The Phillies are, I think, an easy trade partner based on matching up with needs on both sides.
They're certainly going to be buying.
The Phillies could use some catching depth in that organization. JT Realmuto is in the final year of his contract. Even if he does come back, they could use more depth. Maybe that's a position the Orioles trade from in a potential package.
And a guy like Creed Willems, who has to be added to the 40-man roster this offseason or be eligible in the Rule 5 draft, maybe it's something that could be added to a package to help sweeten it, get a little bit extra.
Here's Ryan Stafford after the meeting on the mound, trying to be the fifth straight to reach. He swings at the first pitch, pops it up on the infield, and the shortstop Ware is under it to make the catch. One out.
So got the pitch to hit, but just got under it.
I like the aggressiveness. Now we'll go back to the top for Austin Overn.
Stafford is a guy I thought would kind of hit the ground running a little bit better this year. Got off to a slow start. I think he's been better since that first month or so, but I kind of thought he was going to be like a Connor Norby type that could play catcher, but so far, not the case.
Here's Overn, gets one up in the air, deep right center. Dragoo's back at the wall. That one hits off the warning track, and it's rolling around. Cunningham is in. Here comes Mordaunt. Overn into third with a two-run triple, and the Birds are on top at 6-5.
I thought Overn was going to lap Mordaunt there.
It was close. Mordaunt was hauling, but Overn, we know how fast he is, gets into third base with a two-run triple. Five of the first six batters of this fourth inning have reached for the Birds. That's it for Casey Stewart. And, Bob, the Birds, just like that, back on top.
Yeah, what a shot. I mean, that's probably out of the park if he's up in Double-A Chesapeake, but with the big field here, got to show off his speed and easy triple.
Yeah, I want to know how many ballparks that ball is out in.
Yeah, where's the stat cascade on that one?
The answer is a lot.
Yeah.
I don't have a concrete number to give you. But we'll keep it here while the Blue Claws change pitchers. Casey Stewart is done. He was hit around in his last outing. The last time the Birds saw him, they hit him a little bit, not a ton. But for the most part, this is the first time in four times they've seen him that they've done this to him. So it's great to see the Birds, a pitcher they've seen quite a bit of, that they didn't have much success, hit the ball hard. And Bob, I said it at the beginning of this inning. They only had the two runs to show for it, but a lot of good swings, and now we're seeing things come together.
Yeah, exactly. Process over results. It was good at bats, and they were finally able to break through, and in good timing, too, take the lead.
A two-run triple for Austin Overn after an RBI single from Anunis Mordaunt and a leadoff homer from Anderson De Los Santos. Four runs in to start this frame, and the Birds are not nearly done. A new pitcher in for the Jersey Shore Blue Claws. Bob, while we have some time before we reset the scene, how's everything going with not just you but the entire crew, Nick and Zach, the trio of you guys doing the podcast? I mean, what's up with those guys?
Yeah, doing great. Just love being able to podcast. Thank you to the patrons who support us out there. And just it's something we would do for free. But to be able to have as much support as we do just makes it all the more sweet, all the more motivated to just continue to do what we're doing. And yeah, I think those guys are loving it as well. Nick's our draft expert. He watches a lot of college baseball. He's excited for the draft. Zach is just great leading man, just great voice to be the host. You know, he's super steady, keeps us doing what we're doing, and I'm just there to pitch in when I can.
It seems like you guys play off each other's strengths really well.
Yeah, we got lucky. we kind of vibe pretty well together.
Here's Griff O'Farrell looking to keep the rally going. Swings at the first pitch. Another great cut. Fouls it to the backstop. It's 0-1. The new pitcher is right-hander Jake Eddington. He takes over for Casey Stewart, whose line is not closed. He's responsible for the runner over and at third. But three big run-scoring hits in the inning for the Birds. They are not done. Infield's in for the Claws. Now the 0-1 to O'Farrell, low and away. Overn dancing off that third base bag. If anything gets away from the catcher, Disson, don't be surprised if Overn takes off.
Yeah, I think he's stolen home a few times this year.
Yep.
O'Farrell's a guy you want up in this spot because he puts the bat to the ball. So you're going to give yourself a chance to get this running.
1-1, high and away. Disson bluffs a snap throw back to third. Had me on that one.
I think he had Overn, too.
Yeah. Well, that was an automatic triple once that ball stayed in the yard.
If it wasn't Mordaunt in front of him, he might have gone all the way.
2-1 to Griff, swing and a miss. That's a nasty pitch right there. That is really tough.
Yeah, 2-1 to be able to do that. That was impressive.
So Eddington takes over for Stewart, who to this point has allowed 6 runs on 6 hits. In 3 1/3, struck out 4, walked 3. 79 pitches, 46 strikes. 2-2, slashed foul down the right field line. But a great sign to see the Ironbirds put up 4 in the bottom of the fourth after the Blue Claws put up 4 in the top of the third. Aberdeen 6, Jersey Shore 5. Still only one out in Austin over in at third base. 2-2, low and away, counts full.
Yeah, I don't take it lightly. The offense showed up for me tonight. You know, can't say that about this team every night, but again, you just continue to do a good approach and results eventually will happen.
Yeah, these guys have been working hard, and I feel like there are a lot of guys close to breakthroughs at this level. Payoff pitch, fouled away down the right field line, and maybe tonight's the start of something big for these guys. Anderson De Los Santos has 2 extra base hits, a 2-run double, and a solo homer. Anunis Mordaunt just drove in a run. Austin Overn, a 2-run triple. And that has to feel good for Overn. The strikeouts have been piling up over the last couple games, but it's all part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only a couple game stretch. 3-2, laser into center. That's down for a base hit. And Overn walks home. It's 7-5 Ironbirds on the RBI single from Griff O'Farrell.
Beautiful piece of hitting there. Again, just line drives. Keeping that launch angle a little bit lower for his frame, yeah.
I felt like that result was inevitable. Just off the first cut I saw from Griff, new arm coming in, he swings first pitch, send it to the backstop. Then even the swing where it ended up being strike 2, that breaking ball fooled him. I mean, an aggressive approach, and it paid off.
Yeah, he can afford to be aggressive with less than 2 strikes because he knows he can make contact when there is 2 strikes.
Yep. Aaron Estrada takes a strike. It's 0-1. Birds lead at 7-5, a 5-run inning, and they could add to it. The most runs the Ironbirds have scored in an inning this season, 9. They did that at Jersey Shore on April 13th. 0-1, slap foul. Long way to go to put up 9 in this inning. But a 5-run spot is big. It's the 5th time this season they've scored at least 5 runs in an inning.
Middle of the lineup coming up, so it's not over yet.
0-2, grounded up the middle, backhanded by Escobar, but he lost it off the heel of the glove, and everybody's safe.
Tough play. That had some weird spin on it.
We'll see what they score that one. And now Tomas Sosa going to hit as the 9th man of the inning. Still only one out.
Estrada been on base all 3 times up this game. Even if that's an error, he's still sitting on first base. So.
Yeah, hit by pitch, then a walk, and now maybe an infield single.
Some generous home scoring, potentially. I'd like to see it.
I don't see an error.
I don't see it either.
I don't see a hit up either, though. They just haven't
There's
scored.
There's an error.
Oh, they gave it an error. Okay.
Fair.
Either way, he's on the bases.
Yes.
First pitch to Sosa, skipped in the dirt. Nice stop by Disson. So an E4 on Escobar. But when you put your bat on the ball, you got to make the defense make a play, and right there, Escobar did not.
Absolutely. Hard contact in walks and slugging is all the rage, but sometimes just put the ball in play and good things can happen.
1-0, foul tipped into Disson's glove. Another big cut, this time from Sosa.
Yeah, I can kind of see why he's got those big exit velocity numbers now after seeing him in person.
I'm waiting to see him get a pitch down and in right here and clobber it over the bullpen in deep right field.
I would love to see it.
Break this thing open. 1-1, that's outside.
Yeah, we had Anthony Villa on our podcast last year, and he said Tomas Sosa is a very confident guy. He thinks he's the next Ken Griffey Jr.
2-1, low and in. And you can tell the way he plays the game is very confident.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Go be confident and go have fun. And we'll have fun watching you.
I love throughout the offseason when he posts him hitting down in the Dominican Republic. He posts all the balls he's just cranking out of ballparks. 3-1. Ooh. Ripped the other way to left. Prado's coming on. He makes the grab on the run. That's a nice play by Elio Prado. And he gets it back into the infield quickly.
Yeah, that was hit hard. But yeah, even when he was rehabbing from injury, he'd have 70%, 80%. You always know where Tomas Sosa is at if you follow him on Instagram.
Yeah, he's hilarious. I love talking to him. And there's a little bit of a language barrier. He speaks a little English. I can speak a little Spanish. But, you know, you don't need to speak any specific language to just shake somebody's hand and smile and say what's up. And that Sosa always says what's up to me, which is really cool.
No, that's awesome, yeah. Baseball's the universal language, right?
Yeah. So here's Anderson De Los Santos, who led off the inning with a homer. Now he hits with 2 on and 2 outs with the Birds up 2.
He's trying to guarantee himself 4 at bats.
Yep. Pitch from Jake Eddington. Fastball right there. So the line is officially closed on Casey Stewart. Gives up 7 runs on 6 hits and 3 1/3. Did strike out 4, but also walked 3. Time's out. De Los Santos, the 10th batter of the inning. It's always nice when you can cross out the inning in the scorebook and have to, you know, cross out the 5 and put the 4 because it's still the 4th inning and have that go the rest of the way. It's nice when I get to do it on this side of the scorecard
right,
and not the other one.
Yeah, absolutely.
De Los Santos broke his bat. The bat might have gone farther than the ball. Grounded to third, throw from Bittison over to Arnold, and the inning is over. Well, that was a barrel of a baseball bat flying at Jake Eddington. He avoided it, and the inning is over. Huge inning for the Birds. They score 5 times. They do it on 5 big hits, including a 2-run triple and a solo homer. We will go to the top of the 5th with the Birds in front 7-5 here on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Birds back on top of the Blue Claws after a 5-run bottom of the fourth. A huge inning for the Birds. They did it on 5 hits. They sent 10 to the plate. And now right-hander Trent Terzinski on for the top of the fifth. He gets Nick Bittison, the two-hole hitter. First pitch strike from Trent with Avery Owusu-Asedu to follow, and then Bryson Ware, 2-3-4 for the Claws. Bob, how about that 5-run explosion right there in the fourth?
Yeah, you love to see it. Just all around, a lot of action in this game.
Lazy fly ball to right, Cunningham's there, one out, and Terzinski does his job fresh out of the pen.
I like Terzinski. He's got a extremely unique delivery, and he's got some good stuff. His FIP is better than his ERA in Aberdeen, but he strikes out a lot of guys. Undrafted free agent after last year's draft.
Final line for Luis De Leon, 5 runs on 5 hits with 5 strikeouts and 2 walks in 4 innings. De Leon did a nice job working that shutdown fourth. He set the Claws down 1-2-3, and that set the tone for the Birds going into the bottom of the fourth when they exploded for 5 runs off of Casey Stewart. But all in all, De Leon threw 82 pitches, 46 strikes. Good end of the night for the left-hander, and the 5 punch-outs to go with 7 in his last outing. That's a great trend.
Yeah, he had that changeup working. Combine that with the mid to slightly upper 90s fastball. That's going to get you some strikeouts.
So now the 6'6 right-hander Trent Terzinski. 21st appearance overall this season, 12th with the Ironbirds, all out of the bullpen. And even 17 innings of work after getting the first out tonight. 1-1, low and away. 20 strikeouts, only 7 walks with Aberdeen this year. But, Bob, you mentioned the ERA a little bit higher than the fielding independent pitching, and that's not always a bad thing, and a lot of times it's great to see a lower FIP because it means the things that the pitcher can control, you know, he's controlling them well. Ground ball up the middle, nice snag by O'Farrell. From the seat of his pants, no shot.
Yeah.
It's an infield knock for AOA. Slipped.
Nice to even just get to that ball. And Yimmer Silva ran it. That's I'm impressed by how much range he's shown.
Ton of range. But what's your take on that with looking at the fielding independent pitching numbers?
Yeah, again, it's just kind of like process over results. If you're doing what you can control, then, I mean, that's basically all you can do. The rest is up to luck or your teammates on defense. And, yeah, I think just like with Levi Wells.
Liner into center on the hit and run from the Blue Claws. Owusu-Asedu goes to third. And the throw is not there in time. It's a single for Bryson Ware. Just like that, the Claws back to doing their thing. First and third, one out.
Yeah, but last year with Levi Wells in Aberdeen, you could tell the stuff was much better than the ERA indicated. His FIP was much lower. And then you see this year in AA, he's kind of showing out a little bit. So it's good to just get a context of everything. Don't necessarily just need to look at the ERA to know what's going on with the pitcher.
Here's Elio Prado. He represents the go-ahead run. The Birds just took the lead with 5 runs in the fourth. They lead it 7-5, but it's first and third, one out. Blue Claws threatening. Prado had a sack fly to center his last time up. Takes high 1-0.
Yeah, Prado. He's one of Michael Elias's first trade acquisitions ever when he traded Andrew Kashner to the Red Sox for Elio Prado and Nolberth Romero.
1-0, swing and a miss. Although he signed with the Red Sox, he grew up in the Orioles system. And now it's a little bit weird seeing him in another uniform in this league. It was the same thing when Mac Horvath came back with Bowling Green earlier this year. Horvath traded by the Orioles to the Rays last year on the Zach Eflin deal.
Yeah, Prado was lost in the minor league phase of the Rule 5 draft. It's just kind of what happens when you have a deep farm system. You know, we've talked about that the Orioles farm system's not what it once was under Elias, but probably a bottom half farm system, but still pretty deep, especially in the lower minors, and there's only so many guys you can carry.
1-1, hard ground ball to short, could get him out of the inning. A flip to second, O'Farrell back to first, there it is. An inning-ending 6-4-3 double play. Trent Terzinski gets the shutdown frame, the all-important zero after scoring 5, and the Birds take a 7-5 lead as we go to the home half of the fifth. Stay locked in with Bob and me on MILB TV and Bally Live. Bottom five in Aberdeen, 7-5 lead for the Ironbirds, playing as the Sinceros Increíbles de Aberdeen. And now here in the bottom of the fifth inning with the two-run lead on the Blue Claws, it's Arias Cunningham and Mordan. First pitch to Arias, slaps one out towards first, booted by Arnold, the first baseman. No play at first, and Arias is a leadoff base runner here in the fifth. Well, Bob, things just keep getting better for the Birds, taking advantage of miscues, but it's not been the whole story tonight. They are creating their opportunities with a lot of big swings, especially in that fourth inning.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just making solid contact. Sometimes it goes, you hit the ball hard right at a guy. Sometimes you hit it soft and it lands in there. That was one of the latter, but a lot of hard hit balls this evening too.
Here's Jake Cunningham with Arias at first and no outs. First pitch to Jake is in for a strike, 0-1. Well, Bob, some news in between innings. You broke the news to me. The Delmarva Shorebirds combined to throw a no-hitter tonight against the Fayetteville Woodpeckers down in North Carolina. So we were talking about no-hitters recently, and the Delmarva Shorebirds getting into the no-hit club this season.
Yeah, how about that? It was a combined no-hitter in the minors, typically his, but Jack Crowder, Adrian Delgado, Joe Glassie, and Davey Cruz combined for the no-hitter against Fayetteville.
Davey Cruz got the win in the Ironbirds combined no-hitter last July 19th, 2024. The one-year anniversary is coming up, and he got the save in the no-hitter tonight down in Delmarva. So Davey is been a part of two no-nos in less than a year. Cunningham's down on strikes. There's out number one in the fifth. That's pretty cool. I want to give a shout-out to my guy Mitchell Speltz, the broadcaster for the Delmarva Shorebirds. And he didn't have the MILB TV broadcast tonight because he's on the road, but had the radio broadcast down in Fayetteville. So shout-out to him. Can't wait to hear his final out call of that one. That's good stuff.
Yeah, that's got to be a fun moment for an announcer, as you know, after that perfect game.
Yeah, it's pretty cool as Mordan takes a ball. It's 1-0. I've called two no-hitters now in less than a year in this ballpark, and I've been a part of three on a broadcast in my professional announcing career, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
1-0 misses high. So last year, July 19th, like I said, the Ironbirds combined no-hitter. That was electric. That was so much fun. I was shaking for the final two innings
oh,
of that.
Yeah.
And then the perfect game, it was against the Ironbirds, and man, the things I would have done to trade it and have it before the Ironbirds, but it was just such an incredible moment for me as a broadcaster. Like, take away Ironbirds in front of broadcaster and just look at broadcaster.
Yeah, no
you
doubt.
Know, it's my job to call that game like it is, and man, that was just incredible.
And I heard the final inning, you called it very well.
Thank you.
I do say.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it was one of those where I felt it early on. Unfortunately, obviously, as the Ironbirds broadcaster, I didn't want that to happen. But I felt early on that there was something special happening on the other side. It ended up happening. But, yeah, two no-hitters in this ballpark, won a perfect game in less than a year, which is pretty crazy to think about.
There's nothing better than a good radio call of a big play. I don't know if you heard the
throw down to second, and Arias is caught
out.
Stealing. He was out by a good margin there. Jordan Disson behind the plate.
I don't know if you heard the call when the Giants had a walk-off inside the park home run the other night. That gave me chills.
That was electric.
It's great stuff.
So Mordan hits with two outs and no one on now. Birds lead at 7-5 in the home half of the fifth. Mordan reaches, Stafford will get a shot. Here's the pitch from Eddington. That's in for a strike, 3-2. And the first no-hitter that I was a part of as a broadcaster was when Casey Mize made his double-A debut for the Erie Seawolves in 2019 against the Altoona Curve in Altoona. I was the broadcast assistant for Altoona that year, and I was on play-by-play for the middle innings of that game. And it was probably fourth or fifth inning that I figured that he had a shot to do it, and then he did it. He actually hit the first batter of the game that night and then walked somebody in the seventh, got called for a pitch timer violation in the ninth. I thought that might throw him off, but he finished off the no-hitter. So that was the first time I was a part of a no-hitter on a broadcast. Now, I didn't call the final out. I was the middle innings play-by-play and color the rest. But we're talking about a number one pick in his double-A debut in front of a massive crowd throws a no-hitter. That was cool.
Very cool.
It's 3 in 6 years.
It's awesome.
Calling games in the minors, which is crazy.
And Mai is efficient enough to go all nine, too, huh?
I know, and it's rare that you see a guy get a chance to go nine in a minor league game. Double A is probably the first time where you're like, all right, we can push him a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the fact that he had regularly thrown that many pitches and that many innings and games at Auburn over the last couple of years, they're like, all right, this is fine.
Yeah, it's a cool moment. Cool. I remember when Michael Bauman did it for then Bowie several years ago. It's just such a cool moment.
Here's Ryan Stafford with Mordona at first after the walk. Birds looking to add to their two-run lead. Pitch to Stafford's in for a strike, 1-1. I got to imagine I might have an opportunity to call another one at some point. You figure 3 in 6 years calling games in the minors?
Hey, especially with the pitching that the Orioles have at this level. I mean, consistently coming through. Yeah, I think I wouldn't rule it out.
But yeah, after calling a perfect game the other night, I'm like, you know, if I never get to do that again, I think I can live with it. Because if you do it once, it's more than many people can say they have. But, yeah, I mean, I got to imagine there's another no-hitter in there somewhere. Maybe the Ironbirds could do it again this year.
Yeah, maybe when Esteban Mejia, the vaunted Esteban Mejia makes it up here.
Yeah, 102 from an 18-year-old. I got to imagine he'll find his way in a combined one at some point.
Yeah, you have to imagine.
If you've got one going on, just bring him out of the bullpen to finish it off. Nobody's touching that. Counts 3-1 on Stafford, looking to flip the lineup over back to the top for Overn. Stafford 0-2 tonight, looking to get in on the action. 7 of the 9 Ironbird starters have reached base safely. 3-1, that's there. Counts full.
Good pitch.
Eddington got the final 2 outs of the fourth. He's back out for this 5th inning. In relief of Casey Stewart. Eddington, a 7th-round pick of the Phillies in 2023. Runner goes. Stafford grounds one to third. Tough play for Bittison. Nah. Throw to first is in time, and the inning is over. Stafford legged it out, had a shot, but he is thrown out. No runs, no hits, 1 error, 1 man left. 5 full in the books here in Aberdeen. We'll go to the top of the 6th. It's the Birds 7 and the Blue Claws 5. Seven to five, Ironbirds over the Blue Claws. After 5, we head to the top of the 6th inning. Disson, Bennett, and Dragoo do up for Jersey Shore. 6, 7, and 8 against the new Ironbirds pitcher. It's left-hander Ryan Kabarakis. He takes over for Trent Terzinski, who worked a scoreless 5th inning, got a double play ball to get out of it, and strand runners at first and third. Terzinski in line for the win right now, trying to vulture that from Luis De Leon, who went the first four, doesn't qualify for the win. But now Kabarakis looking to hold that lead. And, Bob, a lot of positives to take away from the Ironbirds tonight, the bats, of course. But that fifth inning from Terzinski, getting the double play ball to get out of it, was huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Right at that turn in a seven-inning game, that fifth inning's pretty important. So to be able to shut them down there, you're two innings away from a win. And hopefully the offense, this is just the start of getting something going here.
And you mentioned two innings away from a win because this is a seventh-inning game, so six less outs to play with offensively. And for the team that's trailing around this point in the game, that's a little bit more daunting than normal because you figure top of the sixth inning, all right, you know, we've got 12 outs left. No, you only have six tonight. That's just how it goes with the two sevens for doubleheaders. Everybody knows that it's the same on both sides, but it still is the case that every inning means just a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kabarakis misses outside, counts 2-1.
Kabarakis, another undrafted free agent. The Orioles have done a pretty good job of that the last few years of relief prospects, or just even if they're just, you know, not hyped up to eventually make it to the majors as a strike there. They've done a pretty good job of finding some crafty guys to pitch out of a bullpen.
Played his college ball at Florida International. He's from Pembroke Pines, Florida. First pro season, five games in the FCL to start, then six with the Delmarva Shorebirds. And in his high A debut the other day for the Birds, preserved a one-run lead in the ninth and picked up a save. And that was on Saturday against Greensboro. Entered with a 3-2 lead. Gave up one hit, walked a batter. But held that one-run lead. It's a pretty good high A debut. Pick up a save.
Yeah.
Humpback liner past the shortstop, Arias, into left. It's a leadoff single for Jordan Disson.
And we've noted on the podcast recently, the past year or so, that age is just not as important as it used to be when it comes to pitching prospects, because with this day and age of pitch development and tread and drive line and being able to increase velocity, a pitcher can add a pitch, add velocity at age 26 and all of a sudden come out of nowhere and make it up all the way to the majors.
Which is great news for pitchers everywhere.
Yeah.
Like as long as you're healthy and you keep going, it may take one off season. You add a few miles an hour, you add a secondary pitch, some of the things you were just talking about, and it's the difference between being somebody who's not even on anybody's radar to being a big leaguer.
And
that's how crazy it is.
Absolutely, and that's why I think the Orioles have had so much success in the past few drafts late in rounds, and they've been able to lean on that because they know what they want to do. They know what they're looking for as far as pitch types and what they can add to a guy's arsenal, not just what they already have.
0-2, ripped to the right side. That's through. And Pierce Bennett taking advantage of the shift. First and second, no outs. Go-ahead run coming to the dish.
And not to say that age isn't important, because it's always been important, especially on the position player side. The younger you are compared to the level is definitely significant, but just seems like the game is going in a direction where you can learn things at an older age, become a completely different pitcher.
Stafford out to chat with Kabarakis. 2-1 and no outs. Kabarakis right now tasked with getting the Birds through this sixth inning. They'll worry about the seventh after that. But right now, just trying to hold this lead and find a way to split this doubleheader with Jersey Shore.
Yeah, a couple seeing eye singles just hit in the right spot. You know, that's what you can do sometimes, but got to try to find a way to get out of it.
Here's a bunt attempt, and it's a good one. Up the third baseline, De Los Santos field.
Nice play.
Strong throw to first. It's a successful sacrifice for Dragoo, but the Birds will take the out as Disson moves to third and Bennett to second.
Yeah, give me the free out every time.
That brings up the nine-hole hitter, Zach Arnold, who took over for Luis Caicudo as a defensive replacement earlier in the night. And he hits for the first time. First pitch, that one missed a little bit. And the count is 1-0. Well, Bob, this is huge right here. You allow one, it's not a big deal. You just don't want to allow a game-tying two-run single or a two-run double or something of that nature.
Yeah, that's why infield's playing back. You'll give up the run on a ground ball or a sacrifice fly, but just keep the ball in the infield or catch it in the outfield.
Disson singled, Bennett singled there on second and third. And Dragoo with the successful sacrifice bunt. 1-1, swing and a miss. It gets away from Stafford. Here comes Disson from third, and he's in to score. The tying run is now 90 feet away at third. That's a tough one. Either a wild pitch or a pass ball right there.
Yeah, that's tough. On a swing and miss, it was a great pitch. Stafford just unable to block it. That's not what you want. Now you got to play the infield in.
And now it's up to the Birds to try to cut this run off. It's a big run. It's the tying run. So the infielders, all four of them come in. And they do call it a wild pitch. Now Cobb Baracus has to bear down. Could really use some swing and miss stuff right here. The count is 1-2 on Arnold. Next pitch, got him.
It.
That's huge. Stafford looks the runner back to third, throws to first. That's an excellent strikeout and a 2-3 put out. Very well done on all ends right there. And now the infield defense can move back.
Would have been nice if that kept runners on second and third, but regardless, great pitch to get the strikeout that was much needed. And on that wild pitch, tough play for sure for Stafford, but I think he'd tell you he should have blocked it.
So Arnold down swinging. And now back to the top of the order for Aaron Escobar. Tough out right here. First pitch, tried to check his swing. Did he go? Appeal, yes he did. It's 0-1. Well, this guy is always in hack mode.
Yeah.
I mean, he's ready to swing.
Yeah, I guess he's kind of like their Nate George type of player. Yeah, he's fun to watch. Tough matchup for the pitcher here, lefty. Against a guy like Escobar. I think if this was the majors, he might automatically walk to first.
0-1 grounded foul into the dugout. Well, you know, Bob, we were talking earlier about the combined no-hitter in Delmarva. They were trailing 1-0 in that game.
Yeah, they had to get
no-hitter.
Two runs in the ninth.
A two-run homer in the ninth. And that's just pretty wild to hear about that. 0-2, that's low. And not only that, so Casey Buckley, who was on our staff in Aberdeen last year, and Luis Silverio, who's on the coaching staff in Delmarva. They're both on the coaching staff in Delmarva. They both texted me to let me know Davey Cruz was in on that no-hitter because he was in ours last year, and I had been talking to them both about scheduling an interview, and that's all not important, but it's just so funny that they both texted me literally at the same time. We're like, hey, Davey was in the no-hitter tonight.
Yeah, Davey's got to be loving life right now.
Yeah, man, just doing his thing.
Crafty lefty.
Getting involved in no-hitters. Got a win last year, a save this year. 2-2, that's low and in. Counts full.
He'll be telling his grandkids about that 40 years from now.
You know what's the best when I hear stories like relievers coming into games not even knowing it's a no-hitter?
I believe it. I believe it.
I hear it. I've heard it a lot. 3-2 pitch from Cobb Baracus is fouled away. Tying run at third with two down. Here in the top of the sixth, Birds lead at 7-6 over Jersey Shore. Like last year, Preston Johnson, who pitched two perfect innings in our combined no-hitter, told me he didn't know it was a no-hitter until he came back out after doing his arm care.
I mean, bullpen's all the way out there. I'm sure it's hard to really stay tuned in the way people watch it in game are. So it makes sense.
3-2, swing and a miss. Ryan Cobb Baracus ties up Aaron Escobar on the hands. And the inning is over. Two strikeouts for Cobb Baracus. He allows a run, but he strands the tying run at third. And we go to the bottom of the sixth with the Birds still up 7-6 here on the Birds Broadcast Network. Ryan Kabarakis with back-to-back strikeouts to end the top of the sixth. He allowed a run, but he also stranded the tying run on base. Bird 7, Claus 6 as we go to the home half of the sixth inning. Top of the order, Overn, O'Farrell, and Estrada against a new arm for Jersey Shore, a big and tall right-hander, Jose Pena Jr., sixth-round pick in 2021 out of high school in Florida. Here's a bunt back to the mound. Tough play for Pena. No shot. It's an infield single for Overn. Now the throw gets away, and OV's headed to second. Slide into the bag, and Austin Overn is a leadoff batter at second base now for the Birds as they look for some much-needed insurance.
Enrique Bradfield-esque there. Just no chance once the bunt got down in the right spot.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, okay, he bunted it back to the mound, but really a guy like him can do that and beat it.
Yeah, he deadened it enough to just give himself enough time.
And you could tell what he was trying to do. He just wanted to get it down, and he knew he was going to beat that out. So he is at second, takes advantage of the infield bunt single and the E1 on the throw. And now Griff O'Farrell to try to move him or get him in. First pitch to Griff is high. Griff lined a single to center his last time up. He is 2-for-3 tonight.
Certainly wouldn't mind an insurance run here heading into the last inning.
Yeah, and the most ideal scenario is the Birds tack on here. They close it out in the top of the seventh. Pena steps off. Over and really will have you keeping an eye on him all night on base. I mean, it's one of those situations where even if he doesn't mean a whole lot, you're going to pay attention, and that might throw things off going towards the batter. Griff grounds one to first. Arnold takes it himself to the bag, but that works like we talked about, moving the runner over and 90 feet away from scoring a big insurance run.
Yeah, Farrell's just trying to make sure makes contact, hits the ball opposite way there, advance the runner. Well done.
Claws bring the infield in for Aaron Estrada. Outfielders have come in a little bit as well.
Gets away from the catcher even a little bit, Overn might take off. 30-some steals.
Pitch from Pena, fouled back, 0-1. For the Ironbirds, it's 7 runs on 8 hits, 1 error. For the Claws, 6 runs on 9 hits and 3 errors. They have more hits, but the Birds have more hits that have come in bigger spots with men on base. 2 extra base hits for the Claws and 3 for the Ironbirds. Estrada takes, counts 1-1.
Good spot for Estrada here.
1-1, lifts it in the air to left. That's out of play, 1-2. But, yeah, you were talking about earlier, Griff was up with the infield in, talking about a guy who makes a lot of contact up in a situation. Same thing here with Estrada.
Absolutely. Yeah, he can certainly put the bat to the ball when he wants to. It's a nice skill to have, especially when you can hit the ball hard.
Pena Jr. taking his time out on the mound, winding down the pitch clock, 1-2 to Estrada. Fly ball
That'll
left
work.
Field, Prado is over towards the line, and he runs out of room, that's into the seats. Depth-wise, that's plenty.
Yeah, rumors prefer he could have caught that just to get the run in, but.
I mean, really all it takes to score over it is a blooper over the, like even if it's caught, if the shortstop or the second baseman has to range out to the outfield part of the turf and their body carries them towards the outfield, he can score on that. So any fly ball to straight away at any of the outfield spots is plenty.
Honestly, even with the infield in, if he's running on contact, it's going to take a perfect throw.
Yeah. 1-2. Estrada flicks it to left. Prado is there. He gets behind it. Done. Here's the throw to the plate. It's a good one. It's offline, though, and Overn slides in safe. A sacrifice fly for Aaron Estrada, and the Birds tack on a big run. It's now 8-6. That's a smooth slide. That's a Trey Turner-esque slide at home plate right there.
Yep, just swipe it with your hand as you slide past it. Yeah, Estrada knew exactly what he wanted to do. He wasn't trying to be selfish and crank one or get a base hit. He just wanted to slap it in play. He knew Overn could get it in.
That's Ironbirds baseball right there. A bunt hit that you make the pitcher throw one wide. You get to second on the throw like Overn did. And then O'Farrell, a grounder, moves him over, and the sack fly to bring him home. That's Ironbirds baseball.
Gotta love it.
Here's Tomas Sosa. Takes a strike. It's 0-1. Sosa, a quiet night. He is 0-3 as the DH.
You're really hoping I can just watch him get a hold of one here.
He's looking to get a hold of one. He's got a 10-game on base streak on the line. Not your conventional 10-game on base streak. Four games in April, and then the first six since coming off the IL in July.
I wonder how he feels about DH, and I wonder if some guys have a harder time early playing at the plate as versus in the field.
Yep. 0-2 from Pena. Chopper to first. Arnold waits back, and he flips to the pitcher Pena covering. 3-1 on the putout, and the inning is over. The Birds get a big insurance run. They do it thanks to the bunt base hit from Austin Overn, and he comes in to score on Aaron Estrada's sack fly to left. Birds 8, Claws 6. We're going to the home half of the top half of the seventh to see if the Birds can finish this thing off here on the Birds Broadcast Network. We move to the top of the seventh inning here in Aberdeen. The Ironbirds lead the Blue Claws 8-6. Bob, that's a big insurance run that the Birds just tacked on in the home half of the sixth.
Yeah, it puts a lot less pressure on the pitcher to try to get these last three outs when they know they can at least give up one and still get the job done.
The Claws got one in the sixth. They stranded the tying run on base, and the Birds answered it back and picked up one of their own. So here's Ryan Kabarkis, the left-hander, back to work. We'll see if he can finish this thing off and earn yet another save. He entered with a two-run lead, gave up a run, but still held the lead, and now he's got that two-run lead back. That'll be a pretty solid start to his high A tenure. Two outings, two saves.
Yeah, not too shabby if you can get that done. To be trusted to pitch high-leverage innings. It's pretty good.
Bittison with Owusu, Asedu, and then where to follow. 2-3-4. 0-1, that missed. Now 1-1 coming from Kabarkis. Here it is. A little bit high right there. He's got some good stuff. I mean, I really like the baseball coming out of his hand. Got some late bite on that.
Absolutely. Orioles love their hop. He certainly got some from the left side. It's only 90 to 92, but clearly plays up a little bit.
So the count swells to 3-1 on Bittison, who doubled and scored in the first. He's been quiet since then, 1-3. Birds playing as the Sinceros Increíbles de Aberdeen tonight, trying to get in the win column. That's inside ball four, a five-pitch walk to Bittison, and that brings the tying run to the plate with no outs.
Not an ideal start to the inning.
Single to start the sixth, and then the Blue Claws drop down a sack bunt, then strikeout. The run did score on a wild pitch. That's how the Blue Claws got within one, but then the Birds added another to push it back up to two. First pitch to Avery Owusu-Asedu is in for a strike, and that's a big comeback pitch after the five-pitch walk.
AOA as you called him. He's a very fun player to watch, just seeing him for the first time here in person.
Yeah, he is fun, and he's one of those guys you put in that gamer category. I mean, he was on base earlier, and all he wanted to do was run. Yeah. And we knew he was getting there.
He was
to the next base.
On his toes every time he was on there, yep.
Yeah, high-energy player. AOA is just less to say.
Yeah.
You know, mix that in there.
No, I like it.
0-2, grounded foul. Luis De Leon went the first four. He gave up five runs, but he gutted through that tough third inning, pitched a scoreless fourth, and set the tone the rest of the way. Trent Terzinski, a scoreless fifth inning. Kabarkis ever since. 0-2, liner down the left field line. That's down in front of Estrada. Could be extra bases, although it's not. It's just a single.
Good job to hold
him. And that's
there.
Huge. Estrada holds AOA to a single. Bittison stopped at second. That's massive.
Yeah, double play can end it here.
Yeah, and now getting that insurance run makes such a big difference because with a one-run lead, first and second, no outs, feels a little bit daunting. Two-run lead, first and second, no outs, a little bit easier to deal with that.
Yeah. I mean, give up the run on – don't even worry about the guy on second base right now.
So it's Bittison at second, Owusu Asedu at first. Bryson Ware is due up. Jeremy Heilman, the Ironbirds pitching coach, is out to chat. And he'll talk things over with the entire Ironbirds infield. Just a quick recap for those who just joined us or just joined us recently. The Ironbirds led 2-1 after one. Anderson De Los Santos, a two-run homer to put the Birds ahead after the first. The Blue Claws grabbed four in the third inning, but the Ironbirds answered in the bottom of the fourth with a five spot. Both teams scored a run in the sixth, and now here in the seventh, it's the Ironbirds 8 and the Blue Claws 6, but the tying run is at first base. After the meeting, first pitch misses low from Kabarkis to Ware. It's 1-0. This is where he needs a double play ball. Like, you don't necessarily need it to get out of the inning, but to just cool things down a little bit.
Yeah, it would certainly take the pressure off. It's tough lineup for a left-handed pitcher. Seems righty-heavy.
Yeah, very righty-heavy. Only one left-handed batter in the lineup.
That was a good pitch there to even the count.
Actually, it's all righties. It was the lineup in game one today, there was a lefty and a switch, but this is all right-handed batters. That one missed. It's 2-1.
Kind of makes Luis De Leon's performance, which I think was better than the final stat line indicated,
right,
even more impressive.
Yeah, who knows what the final stat line would have been if there wasn't that error, if the home plate umpire said Mordan made the tag and didn't miss it. Here's a shallow fly ball to right center. O'Farrell's out. It drops in front of a sliding Cunningham, and it looks like everybody's safe, and the bases are loaded with no outs. Tough part of the outfield right there. O'Farrell couldn't get out there. Cunningham was deep and over, and then over and in center, no chance for him. It's a bloop single.
Yeah, a little bit in the no man's land and big outfield like we talked about. That's just going to give you some problems there.
Well, that's it for Ryan Kabarkis. He faces three batters in the seventh. Doesn't get any of them out. He made some good pitches. He got what could have been an out there, but again, big outfield, tough play for all three guys going after that one. And we've got a new arm coming in. We'll let you know who that is after we step aside here on MILB TV. And Bally Live. New arm for the Ironbirds here in the top of the seventh inning. Right-hander Wyatt Chaney takes over. He inherits a bases-loaded, no-out situation. Former Ironbird Elio Prado in the box. The tying run is at second. The go-ahead run is at first. First pitch from Chaney, low and away. Count is 1-0. Bob, not an easy situation to come into. No margin for error. Bases loaded. But the Birds are up two, which is a good positive sign.
As like I said, in between the pitching change here, Wyatt Chaney is definitely the guy you might want to bring in if you're trying to get out of a bases loaded jam, striking out 31% of batters this year. I actually just shouted him out on the podcast on Monday night as my under-the-radar prospects of the week.
Okay.
So see what he can do.
He's got the strikeout stuff. He has had a really nice season for the Birds. Quietly strong season. 1-1, that's in there. First strike to Prado. It's 1-2. He's got five pitches to work with. Four-seam fastball, a cutter, a curveball, a slider, and a changeup.
Yeah, I think he'll go back to getting balk innings next year. He's coming off of Tommy John surgery, which made him miss a season and a half. So breaking him back in as a reliever makes sense.
1-2, got him. Nice. Nasty pitch. Sweeper across the zone. A big out number one in the seventh.
Beautiful pitch.
Had to have it right there. Or if you had contact, you needed weak contact. But he gets the swing and a miss. And now a double play ball ends it. You've got the force at the plate. Birds have Stafford at first. Or excuse me, Mordaunt at first a little bit up. No, it's Tejada now. So Stafford went in to catch, and Tejada moved to first in place of Mordaunt. That's what happened.
And you can afford to give up a sacrifice fly here. With just a ground ball out that scores a run. Not the end of the world.
A one from Chaney. Popped up right side of the diamond. Cunningham is over. Medium right field. He's there to make the catch. Throw goes into third. That's exactly where it needed to go. The Birds keep the tying run at second. A sacrifice fly for Jordan Disson to make it an 8-7 game. But that's fundamentally sound baseball. Everybody was shouting 3-3-3. And Cunningham delivered right there.
Yeah, no sense in letting AOA move over to third base, especially with as aggressive as he's been on the base path.
It's kind of funny seeing that play out because the runner at third in that situation, Bittison, knew the throw was going to third, so he didn't sprint home. He knew he didn't have to. But as he was coming home, you see the throw go across, and you're like, well, if the throw went home, it would have been close. But it's just based off how things played out in the scenario. And there's a half-hearted swing from Pierce Bennett. Chaney picks up a strike and a sword. It's 0-1. A strikeout and a lazy fly ball. Wyatt Chaney doing his thing.
Yeah, and he's walked quite a few batters. That's been the one thing of his season that he could look to improve on, but so far, command's been on point.
A one, swing and a miss with a fastball, coming right in and overpowering these Blue Claws hitters.
Yeah, just attacking the zone here.
Jersey Shore down to its final strike. 8-7, Ironbirds, top of the seventh. Runners at first and second. It's the tying run at second, the go-ahead run at first. Chaney ready, 0-2. Breaking ball smothered in the dirt by Stafford. That's a nice defensive stop right there. Big 1-2 pitch coming up. Here it is from Chaney. Lined to short, caught by Arias, and the Birds are back in the win column. Chaney enters with the bases loaded and no outs. Birds up two in the top of the seventh. Strikeout, sacrifice fly that got the Blue Claws within one, but then a humpback liner to short, and the Birds win the nightcap of the doubleheader to split the twin bill. That's a pretty impressive W for the Birds right there, Bob.
Yeah, I'm certainly impressed. Just a complete game, a lot of action, long game but for a seven inning, but just a lot of action in pretty much every inning.
So it was a tough seventh inning there. Ryan Kabarkis, who worked a solid sixth inning, came back out for the seventh. Walk, single, bloop, single, and then Chaney out of the pen. Strikeout, flyout, soft line out, and the Birds preserve the one-run win, and they get the come-from-behind win. Their 15th comeback win of the season. We'll let you know how it happened pretty quickly, and then throw it back to Bob for some more analysis. The Birds led 2-1 after one. Anderson De Los Santos with a two-run homer in the first inning. And then after the Blue Claws scored four in the top of the third to regain the lead, the Birds bounced right back, a five spot, sending 10 to the plate on five hits in the bottom of the fourth inning. De Los Santos led off the frame with a homer. Anudis Mordaunt, an RBI single. Austin Overn, a two-run single. And Griff O'Farrell, an RBI single. Both teams scored a run in the sixth inning. The Birds' run that they scored, that was a big insurance run. It proved to be the difference. And after the Claws got within one in the seventh, that's as close as they got. Tying run was stranded at second base. Well, Bob, there are a lot of things that we can talk about from this game. I think some of the biggest positives, Anderson De Los Santos, the two-run double, and the solo homer to start that five-run rally. The pitching, although it may not look great in the book, it was really solid. And the Birds just showing some resilience in that game to come from behind and get the win.
Yeah, I was certainly impressed by the pitching overall, but especially Luis De Leon. I thought his stuff looked really, really sharp tonight. Actually was pretty impressed by the defense despite an error and a couple of weird plays there. But, yeah, it was a great win. Like you said, just to come back after losing an early lead to be down by three runs, come back, take the lead the next inning, it's pretty impressive.
So with the win, the Iron Birds improved to 31-52 overall, 7-11 in the second half. The Blue Claws dropped to 32-49, and they are also 7-11 in the second half. For the Iron Birds, 8 runs on 8 hits, 1 error. For the Blue Claws, 7 runs on 11 hits, 3 errors. Trent Terzenski picks up the win. He moves to 2-1. The loss goes to Casey Stewart. He drops to 3-9. Wyatt Chaney picks up the save. It's his third of the season. Game was played in 2 hours and 24 minutes in front of 1,281 fans here at Ripken Stadium in Aberdeen, Maryland. Great win for the Birds. The fifth time this season they've played a doubleheader. In all five, they have split the doubleheader. But after losing a 2-0 close game in game one, they come back and win it 8-7. The bats got it going, and the bullpen finished off the win. Well, Bob, I really appreciate you joining me for the broadcast tonight. It was fun to have you back on, and always great talking Orioles baseball.
Oh, I was so honored to be asked back. It was a great time once again. And, yeah, anytime. I'm all about baseball anytime. I'm excited for the draft Sunday night. Thanks again.
Yeah, real quickly, like I ask all my guests when they come on before we wrap up, what's next for you? I know you alluded to some of the stuff. You've got the live stream for the draft. But how about some big planned shows or guests or interviews that you guys got coming up? If you want to throw anything out there.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's a good time right now. Like we talked about earlier, we got the draft this Sunday. We'll have live coverage Sunday night. We'll break down the complete draft either Monday or Tuesday night. Then you got the trade deadline coming up. And then after that, it's our midseason top 50 update. It's one of our biggest episodes of the year every year. So get to add all the new players acquired either via trade at the deadline or in the draft and guys who have just emerged and broke out this year. So very excited about all that. And then it's the Samuel Basayo countdown clock, I think, after that.
Bob Phelan from the Orioles On the Verge podcast, one of three on the Verge team. Shout out to Nick and Zach as well, who don't live locally. But, Bob, you're local, and it's always great to bring you on the broadcast. Had you once last year, having you back again. But it's always great to see what you guys are doing with the podcast and, of course, you know, with the website. You got some articles coming out. You mentioned even a video breakdown. You guys are doing some great stuff. And I always like to thank you guys personally for what you do because – it's really important for us as broadcasters in the minors or anybody who works in the minors and plays in the minors to get the coverage from you guys. You guys do a great job covering what's going on throughout Birdland.
No, I appreciate that, and I appreciate what you do. I mean, it's you got to have the crew and the good production values. So, yeah, it's fun, and we're just going to continue to improve and get better and expand as time goes on.
That'll do it for a fun night here at Ripken Stadium. Two games. It's been a long day. The Birds dropped game one 2-0, but they win game two 8-7. A fun one here with Bob Phelan from the Orioles On the Verge podcast. For my outstanding production crew here in Aberdeen and Bob Phelan, my guest color analyst tonight, my name is Michael Mark Cantonini. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Bob, once again, as always, thanks for joining me.
No, thank you. It was a blast.
That'll do it for a fun night in the Dean. Back tomorrow for game four of this six-game series. It's going to be a really fun broadcast tomorrow. I've got Bryce Whitlow, the commissioner of the Hall of Pretty Good, joining me as my guest color commentator in the booth. So stay tuned for that one as we keep a fun week in Aberdeen rolling along.
Darren O'Day, newest inductee.
Yes, the Hall of Pretty Good inductee, Darren O'Day, Orioles legend. So I will talk to you tomorrow, Ironbirds fans. First pitch at 7:05 and the air show at 6:40 on the Ironbirds.